Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the United States. This is George Hicks, the National Broadcasting Company. This is the World Series of 1937. We're speaking from our box directly behind home plate on the lip of the third tier at Yankee Stadium in New York City. But you fans don't need to have me tell you what this is all about. It's the New York Yankees, World Champions of 1936, again tennis winners this year in the American League, versus the New York Giants, National League champions of 1937, and for the World Championship in baseball. And this is the fifth World Series since the beginning, in 1905, between the two New York teams. Well, we've been in our chairs here since 11 a.m. this morning, now 1:15. The bleachers, bending in an irregular curve from middle left field around to middle right, were packed solid on our arrival this morning. And the third tier of moderate price reserve seats were also packed at that time, except the extreme tips at left and right field, and now they're filling up. The expensive boxes and first layer tier are now filled, practically, except for the last moment arrivals. There must easily be 50,000 or a little more here now before game starts, and they're still pouring in. NBC has its baseball experts manning the microphones. Tom Manning, NBC sports announcer from Cleveland, one of the best. Well, he'll describe the first half of the game. Beside him is Red Barber, star sports announcer from station WLW in Cincinnati. Both, by the way, are red-headed. So remember, when the action gets hot, these two red-headed flashes will be throwing the words at you. And with them is Warren Brown, the friendly and wise ball expert, sports editor of the Chicago Herald Examiner. He'll give you the expert opinions, the inside facts that only he knows. Now, so much for what's to come. Right now, the Yanks are just trotting in off the diamond. The caretakers are out with their rakes and the chalk lines, the manicuring, which goes on just before the game starts. It's just about 10 minutes now. The photographers are flashing bulbs at the first row box seat where all the celebrities are seated. It's so muggy today, incidentally, that they're using flash bulbs. The Giants are now coming into their dugout. The weather is humid. Whether this is October 6th or not, perspiration is running off our faces, and the bleachers are in shirt sleeves, making that white background. It rained last night here in New York, but now the sky is a pale blue with those low, steamy clouds breaking and floating right over our heads, and the pennants up on top of the horseshoe. But boy, it's thick and it's hot out here, but I'm sure it won't rain. Mayor LaGuardia is here. Oh, Mickey Cochran, the old Mike of Detroit, looking fit again. And the babe, Genio, he was wiping his face a moment ago in a blue serge suit, sits in a box right down below us beside the Yankee dugout. With him is Mrs. Ruth and his daughter, Jacob Rupert. Genio, handsome, smiling with Mayor LaGuardia. Mr. Rupert stood and took hands with the babe while the photographers took their pictures. Cheers and excitement, the comments running like fire through the stands have been egging us on since noon when the audience follows DiMaggio, Gehrig, Dickey, Selkirk, Moore, and Ott, all the sluggers as they drop their long drives into either left or right field stands. The Giants today are the visitors. They're in gray with bright azure blue caps, blue shirt sleeves and socks. The Yanks in white with dark blue caps and socks. The crowd got a terrific howl a few moments ago when Gomez put a long punch into the right field stand. At batting practice about 12:30 when the Giants came in, Hubble got a fine hand when he came to bat, but the best he could do was to ground to the infield. The crowd also cheered young Jack McCarthy, first baseman of the Giants, when he put several long drives into right field stand. And they said, well, look at who we got here, as much as to say, well, this boy is right up there with Gehrig and DiMaggio. A quarter of a mile away, on the top of the apartment roof, which are jagged in modernistic style, are the apartment roof galleryites, who pay no tickets and who get a very much of a bird's eye view of the entire scene. Hub is now down behind home plate on the Giants' side. warming up, taking his time, wipes his head with his shirt sleeve, puts his old left arm across, and there's the ball. Gomez is doing the same thing on the Yankee side. Photographers are squatted around them, and the caretakers are now laying out their chalk marks around home plate and the batter's boxes.
Attention, please.
The band is playing in center field. We pause for a moment for the loudspeaker announcement, which said for the people in the aisles to please take their seats. It's just minutes now before the beginning of history in baseball for 1937. The green stands are packed, red, white, and blue bunting on all sides, excitement growing, and now that's the general scene. Let's get down to what this really means. Beside me is Warren Brown that I spoke to you about. Warren, come on and give us the facts about 1937.
All right, George, this is really the most exciting series, or I anticipate that it will be the most exciting series of the sort of a traditional rivalry that has grown up between the New York Giants and the New York Yankees. As you have been told, or perhaps know already, this is the fifth meeting between these two clubs. They met for the first time in 1921. And baseball history of sorts has been made since then. In 1921, for example, there was no Yankee Stadium. Both of the New York clubs played in the Polo Grounds, which is across the Harlem River. In the 1921 series, the New York Giants were tops in baseball. John McGraw was leading them, and they were a fiery baseball club. In my judgment, the club that Bill Terry is sending out on the field this afternoon is the best New York club since the heyday of McGraw. In that 1921 series, the games were played on the basis of 5 out of 9 rather than the 4 out of 7 which had existed in earlier years and which has been brought back into play now. In that 1921 series, the Giants won 5 and the Yankees won 3. The following year, 1922, the Giants won again, and they won 4 games. The Yankees didn't win any. That was the return to the 4 out of 7 as far as the Giants and Yankees were concerned. The Yankees started to get going in 1923, which was the third successive year that Yankees and Giants played in the World Series. And the thought strikes me now as I've looked at these two pennant races in the National and American League that maybe we're back to those old days again. The Giants and Yankees won last year, and they won again this year, having proven conclusively in their respective leagues that they were far and away the best ball clubs in those leagues. So it is quite possible that we may have another stretch of 3 years, or possibly more, of these all-New York series, the Subway Series, as they call them. In 1923, when the Yankees won the World Championship from the Giants, they won 4, and the Giants won 2. After that, the Yankees fell apart a little bit, and it took them a little while to rebuild until they came back stronger than ever. The Giants won another pennant in 1924, but they didn't have the Yankees as their opponents in the World Series that year. Thus it was we came into 1936 before the two clubs met again. And, of course, we will all remember that the Yankees won a really sensational series here last year, 4 games out of 6. Summing up then, we find that down through these 4 series that have been played to date, the Giants have won 13 games and the Yankees have won 11, which seems to me to bring the two teams very close. In a sense then, this series which begins today, being the fifth, is a rubber series. Unless, of course, we figure that they're going to keep right on going again next year. These meetings between the Giants and the Yankees have been productive of some sensational baseball, some very colorful things. Some of the strangest things that have ever happened in World Series play have happened when the Giants were meeting the Yankees. It was in one of these series that we had the famous episode in which a plate umpire declared that it was dark when very few people in the park thought it was dark, with the result that the Commissioner Landis, to whom the decision of the umpire came as much of a stunning surprise as to anybody else, decided to give the money that was spent for those tickets to charity. That was one of the more famous incidents of this Giant-Yankee series. There were a lot of strange plays and a lot of sensational plays, but that's almost enough for the past. Let us get to the present. Looking at the lineups today, which the loudspeaking system is about to give you, perhaps I should pause and let you hear that.
Game for the Giants.
now the pitchers and the catchers and the umpires. Gomez versus Hubble, which we've been expecting this meeting between the two representative left-handers of their respective leagues. As I look through the batting orders and the lineups of the two teams, I find one thing that must be of interest to far-off California. I notice that the New York Yankees in their starting lineup have no less than 5 out of their 9 ball players come from California. Ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem. Frank Rossetti, the shortstop, Tony Lazzari, the second baseman, perhaps the greatest of them all, Joe DiMaggio, the center fielder, and Merle Hogue, the left fielder. Against them on the Giants' side is only Dick Bartel, representing California. And this is not a plug for my native state or anything like that, but it is just an interesting sidelight. As we look at the game now, which is almost... to begin, it seems to me that the Giants come into this series as a stout defensive club, a good-spirited club with fine pitching and a modicum of power. The Yankees, of course, are the powerhouse with also good pitching. If anything, their pitching is on a par with the Giants. In a sense, it seems to me that we are going to look at, starting this afternoon, a World Series in which we will have the famous test that we've long awaited between the irresistible force and the immovable object. And now it seems to me that it's almost time for us to hear from my friend Tom Manning of Cleveland. All right, Tom.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. That round of applause is for the New York Yankees, the winners of the pennant in the American League. Their opponents this afternoon in this World Series will be the New York Giants of the National League. Running over the lineup again for you rapidly. Out of the field at the moment, the Yankees. Frank Roselli at short will lead off. Fred Rolph at third base will bat second. Sensational Joe DiMaggio in center field will bat third. At first base will be the Iron Horse, Lou Gehrig. The catcher will be Phil Dickey. In left field for the Yanks, Earl Holt. In right field, George Selkirk. Tony Lazzari, the veteran second baseman, will be at the Keystone Sack for the American League entry. And the pitcher, as Warren Brown told you, will be Lefty Gomez.
For the Giants, Bill Terry sort of outguessed the boys today. They're a double change. Joe Moore in left field. Dick Bartel at short. Carl Vallott at third base. Hank Lieber in right field. Will be in Bill Dickey is one of the tallest catchers ever to come into the major leagues. And what a catcher. First inning, one man out, nobody on. Lefty Gomez. Ball, that's too high. It was a fastball, very high, and the count on Dick Bartel, ball one and strike one. First inning, one man out, nobody on. Here's the pitch. Inside, ball two. Lefty Gomez trying to keep that ball inside for Dick Bartel. The outfield moved over just a little bit toward right field. Left center and right field are playing over him.
That's a base hit. The bag out to left field. One of the carries off the wall. Hope has it. The throw to second. Drives him back to first base. That's a base hit for Dick Bartel. That was a ripping smash just inside the third base cushion. The ball going down the left field corner. It carried off, retrieved by Holt. Holt returning the ball to Frank Rossetti and driving Dick Bartel back to first base. Harold Amato, the Giant third baseman. Seems rather strange to say the Giant third baseman. For many years, he was the right fielder. Here's the pitch. Strike call. A beautiful football. It caught the inside corner of the plate with Harold Amato stepping back. First inning, one man out. Dick Bartel on first. Harold Amato, left-hand batter, is in the box. Ball two. A slow, sweeping curveball that missed the outside corner, and the count on Mel is one and one. George Hicks told you it's kind of a dark day. What's to the advantage of Gomez? It's a high foul ball going in the boxes over and back of third base, and it's strike two. Strike two and ball one. Very, very few vacant seats upstairs. The last is two tiers, and in the mezzanine, the last tier and a half, and on the main floor, just the last tier. The same thing is prevalent in the right field corner. The pitch. It's a high fly ball, infield, Luke Gehrig under it. He has it. Two out. Dick Bartel on first. And Hank Lieber coming up. Center field this afternoon. Jimmy Ripple in right field and Joe Moore in left field. It was thought for a while that Chiozzi might play center field for the Giants, but that has been changed and Lieber will be in center. Here it is. Ball one. Fastball was over, but just a little bit too high. Hank Lieber bats him right-handed. It's the first inning. Two out. Dick Bartel on first. It's a foul back. The hit and run was on that time. Dick Bartel was off with Lefty Gomez motion. Ran all the way down to second base. And now he trots back. The umpire is Ormsby behind the bat. Morris at first. Steve Bass was at second. And Bill Stewart umpiring at third. Of course, the umpires will shift around each day. Rotate. All right. The count of Lieber, strike one. Ball one. Strike two. Makes a mighty swing. He wasn't fooling on that one. Swung hard and missed him. And the count is strike two and ball one. The Giants being a visiting club today, batting first. Two men out. Bartel on first. Here it is. Inside. Lefty Gomez thought he had a corner on that one, but it was inside. And the count is strike two and ball two. DiMaggio and Selkirk are playing plenty deep. Two and two, coming. Strike three. Strike three. Hard and missed. No run. One hit and no error. Quite a ball game. Warren, come in.
Yes, Tom, and the noticeable thing in that first half inning was the respect that the Giants evidently have for the throwing arms of these Yankee outfielders. That ball that Bartel hit over third base was normally one on which he would try for second base, but he made his round of first and half-heartedly and then turned back to first. They evidently have heard that the arms of Pogue and DiMaggio and that Yankee outfield can throw that ball around. The other noticeable thing to which I think we might as well refer now is that the rains of last night have slowed down this field to a considerable extent. I noticed that as the boys run around out there, they're digging up large sort of divots in the turf, and I'm afraid that there will not be any too much speed shown until the place dries out a little. And as the sun is now coming out strong, it probably will be dry and, as they say, at the track pass before the afternoon is over. Gomez, in striking out Lieber to end the inning, departed from his orthodox fashion of firing that ball through there. The last strike was slowed up, and it threw Lieber completely off his stride, and it was an interesting pitch. All right, Tom, here's the first hitter.
Mike, keep this in mind. Brennan and Gumbert drawn out the right field bullpen to warm up. It'll be Carl Hubbell, you know, left-hander in the box for the Giants. Carl has won 22 and lost 8. 33 years old, long, lanky left-hander. The first hitter will be Frank Rossetti. Play the windup. Ball one. A hook ball was low inside. Rossetti flicking around up there, stepped away, took it, and the count is one and nothing. Red Rolfe, the Yankee third baseman, will be next. Hubbell bending over now. He's taking just a little bit of time. He always starts off rather slow, and along about the fourth inning, cuts it up a little. Ball one. Inside. And the count is two and nothing. On that giant infield is well out at third base. Dick Bartell at short. Burgess Whitehead at second. And Johnny McCarthy at first. Hubbell is in the box. And Mancuso doing the catch. Rossetti up. The count ball two. The pitch. Strike. Ball. A burning fastball right down the old alley. About belt high. Frankie Rossetti jumping away from the plate. Be called in, and the count is ball two and strike one. A lot of pepper on that giant infield for the moment. Outside, and it's ball three. Ball three and strike one. That count, ball two and strike one. Hubbell tried to come in there with a sweeping curveball over the outside, making Rossetti reach for it. But he refused. Ball was outside, and it's ball three and strike one. No score as yet. Frank Rossetti, first man up for the Yankees in the last half of the first inning. They get that outfield of Joe Moore in left, Hank Lieber in center, Jimmy Ripple in right. Ball three and strike one. Rossetti, right-hander up. Outside, ball four, Rossetti walks. Now we have Fred Rolfe, temporary third baseman, Matson, left hand. The Yankee uniforms are white, the home uniform white, the blue stripe, about an inch apart. They're wearing navy blue jerseys, blue caps, blue socks. The NY, of course, on the top of their cap. Carl Hubbell, giant pitcher with the left hander, takes a stretch, a peek at first. Here it is. It's in there. A called strike. Nice sharp breaking curveball that Red Ball started to dart away from. It broke over the heart of the plate for a called strike. Joe DiMaggio will be next. Looks like he has a big lead. Has a play at first. No go. Just to let him know that you're in there. Hubbell tossing that ball over with not any great amount of effort. Strike one, the count. It's outside. Sharp breaking curveball is plenty low and outside. Gus Mancuso jumping over fourth. Not even the count on Rolfe. Ball one and the strike one. There's the stretch. Peek over to first. There's a play at first. Not even close, Rossetti getting back fast. Hubbell wasn't burning that ball over to Johnny McCarthy, just letting Rossetti know that he's in there. Ball one and strike one coming. It's outside and low. Hubbell shook his head a little on that. And Cuso turned around and talked to Ornsby. Burgess White at the second baseman, has walked in from his spot, yelling something at Hubbell. Hubbell picks up the roster bag now. Now he's kicking the dirt around on the top of the rubber there. Deep third base. It's on fly ball and back at third base. And it's two and two. That's at least a glimpse of what Joe McCarthy, the man advantage of the Yankees might be doing in this series. Instead of getting that sacrifice and playing for the one run, that count ball two and strike one, put the hit and run on. Earl Combs coaching in first, Arnie Fletcher in third. The count is ball two, strike two. Rossetti on first, the result of a face on balls and nobody else. Hubble pitching. Two and two, over to first base. Crossed over there with sort of nonchalantly. Third time he's crossed over there with no particular speed on that toss from the box. Here it is. Smack outside, foul ball. Fans jumped to their feet then. That was a very hard smack. The ball turned all the way around on. Pulled it a little bit too much. It landed about 2 yards outside the first base cushion. One of the boys with a fair amount of watching in this short Blue Ribbon Classic will be Johnny McCarthy, who will replace manager Bill Terry at first base. Ed Robinson there with a count ball two and strike two. And Rossetti on first, nobody out.
Rossetti is on second. DiMaggio on first. Just a couple of Italian boys that know something about this game called baseball. Ball one. Gary Kitty. Here it is.
The long drive, high and far out, but not going too far away. Hank Lieber is under it. Eddie has it.
Returns the ball to Burgess Whitehead. Goes Eddie holding second. DiMaggio holding first. Gary got a hold of that ball, but John Barnes of this Yankee Stadium, you know, are plenty long, and the boys took that ball out there. Not quite out to the center track. Let me give you the figures on this field. It's 301 feet in the left field corner. Then direct left field is 402 feet. Directly in center field is 461. Right center is 407, and on the line in left field is 296 feet. Of course, it branches out within 30 or 40 feet of that. It's 344 feet back. Right now we have two men out, and Bill Dickey at bat, the catcher, left-hand batter. Outside, ball one. Carl Hubbell leaning almost back to second base before he cut loose to that ball. Apparently, he's trying to keep that ball over the lower outside corner for Bill Dickey. Nick Barcellas moves over toward the second base cushion. Strike, ball. Ball one, strike one. Mike Rossetti on second. Joe DiMaggio on first, two men out. Walt struck out. Gary flies the lever in center field. Carl Hubbell, left-hander, is in the box for the Giants. Ball one, strike one. Takes a look at second base. Here it is. Strike two, a tip foul that you could perhaps hear. That's Mancuso making the catch of the ball. And the count is strike two and ball one. Holy smoke, there's a lot of excitement here at Yankee Stadium. The folks have been waiting, you know. Just 12 months for this classic. Down on Bill Dickey now, a strike two and ball one. Outside, and the count is two and two. Merle Holt, who is playing out in left field against the southpaw shoots of Carl Hubbell, is next. The other left fielder is Jakey Powell. Ball two and strike two. Hubbell takes a stretch. It is. Tip foul. Dickey swung over that ball, landed right there at home plate. Fire whips out a new ball. The Giants smack it around that infield with a rapidity of light. Malak, Dick Bartel, the Whitehead to McCarthy, and then back to the pitcher Hubbell. Giant outfield is Joe Moore in left, Hank Lieber in center, and Jimmy Ripple in right. DiMaggio on first, Rossetti on second, two out, Dickey batting, ball two, strike two. Coming. Ball three. A burning fastball. Still Bill Dickey away from the plate. Haven't had so much on it, but it brought a great groan from the crowd. 50 tenants won, and someone over 60. Give you the figures on the attendance, just as soon as they're made, the third of the blood. Full count of three and two, the runners will be off with the pitch. There they go, and here it is. The fly ball going out into deep center field. Hank Lieber running back. Under it, and he has it. That's all for the Yankees in the first inning. No run, one hit, one base on balls, and no errors. Now, radio friends, we pause briefly for station identification.
NBC booth in the Yankee Stadium, and the thought that strikes me after watching the Yankees' first attempt at Carl Hubbell's pitching in this game is that Hubb has been a little bit wild to the extent that he's been 3-2 on most of these hitters. He's been working that ball towards the corners there, pitching very carefully for the simple reason that it is not a good judgment to get that ball any too good for these Yankee hitters. While he was hit for one base hit, the one that Joe DiMaggio splashed past Mel Otte at third base, That was a sort of a soggy hit, and it wasn't hit with the authority that we are accustomed to watch when the Yankees really get a hold of the ball. So far in the ball game, it has been mostly one of defense, with the Yankees furnishing the principal threat, of which, as you know now, nothing came. All right, Tom, it looks like the hitter's up here, so let's have him.
Well, it'll be Jimmy Ripple, a giant right fielder. We've completed the first inning without any scores. One hit apiece. Carl Hubbell has issued one base on balls. So far, Lefty Gomez has issued no bases on balls. Jimmy Ripple leading off. Jimmy, the left-hand hitter, the right fielder of the Giants. Here we go. Ball one. That was a fast ball that Gomez had in there, but it was just a little bit too low. Johnny McCarthy will be next. Foul ball up and back at third base. Ball one, strike one. Yes, Jimmy broke his bat hitting that ball. That's what he did, and he's walking slowly over toward the Giant dugout to get a new one. One thing that the ball players just hate to do is to break their bat. Tell me, Warren, how'd that ever start? This broken bat that sort of broke the boys.
Well, that's just one of those superstitions that come along in baseball, like somebody who started a hit by wearing their pants long. You know, they used to pull them all up in the old days. One fellow started in like Cal Simmons or somebody like that with his pants down loose, and now pretty nearly everybody does.
Ready to go again. Ball one and strike one. Ripple hitting. There's a long smash going out to left field. Merle Holt waiting for it. He has it. Jimmy Ripple with the count ball one and strike one. Fly to Merle Hogue in medium left field. Johnny McCarthy. First year as a regular with the Giants. I like him here in New York. He's getting a nice hand. He steps into the batter's box. He bats and throws left-handed. Lefty Gomez. Outside, ball one. It's awful muggy and awful dark here at the moment. A little wind blowing in from the northwest.
There's a smack right up with Zeri. And he makes the catch. He looked at the umpire. The umpire, Steve Basil, waved that it was a unassisted putout. Looked as though Tony just barely got his glove underneath that ball. A terrific line smash right at Tony's feet. He held the ball up, and Steve Basil waved out that Tony Lazzari made the catch. Two out. Nobody on. First half of the second inning.
Thanks, George.
That's Mancuso up. Strike call. Just 31 years old. This season he batted 279. At Yankee outfield, Hogan left, DiMaggio center, Selkirk right. The pitch at the ball. Oh, and inside. Ball one and strike one. Center field, Selkirk going over fast, and he has it. Very nice running catch by right fielder Georgie Selkirk. Mancuso hitting that ball on a line in the right center field. Selkirk was off of the track of the bat and made the catch.
Tom, the noticeable thing there was the fact that all three of these Yankee hitters, or Giant hitters, and two of them left-hand hitters, took very solid wallops at the ball. That's the hardest hit of the game to date in the fourth of effectiveness was that line drive that McCarthy hit out at Lazzari out there. It's interesting to me to find those fellas walking in there against Gomez, since in the first inning, outside of Bartell's drive over third base, they looked a little bit weak. Right. Evidently, Gomez is not treating them with the same respect that Hubbell is treating the Yankee hitters. He's simply firing that ball in and trusting to those nine men in back of them, or eight men, I should say, in back of them, and certainly so far they've done a swell job. Two of those catches out there in the outfield were better than ordinary catches, particularly Selkirk's on the last one. Oh, here's your first Yankee hitter, Tom.
That'll be Merle Hogue. Last half of the second inning, no scorers yet. Merle Hogue is 29 years old. Comes from out Sacramento, California. This season, batting 301. Merle has always been a fine baseball player, but unfortunately, he's been out of the regular lineup on many occasions because the Yankees have always had so much superior outfield. you know, a southpaw, Gus Mancuso catching. Last half of the second inning, no score, and Hogan the hitter. Strike call. Earl Holt stuck his bat out, threw third baseman Mellott in, but of course had no intention of punting that ball, just by way of drawing Mellott in from third base. Ball, low and outside, and the count on Hogue is ball one and strike one. Earl Holt the batter, Georgie Selkirk. George has been on the injured and sick list quite a bit during the last half of the season, but he's back in there now, strong as ever. Ball one, strike one. Bounding ball down, third goes foul. Artie Fletcher tried to stop it, got past him, but Mellott retrieved the ball, and then the Giants whip it around the infield. Dick Bartel to Whitehead to McCarthy, and finally back to Hump. Earl Holt hit that ball, started to run, was three quarters of the way down to first base, walking back rather slow. Strike two and ball one. Kyle Hubbell winding up. Too high. Over the plate, a little bit high on the count is ball two and strike two. Our NBC mic is right over home plate. We're pretty high, but right in line with the pitcher and catcher. Pretty fair seat, in other words. Ball two, strike two. Bounding ball down short. Burgess comes up with it. The throw. He's out. Out by plenty. Put out. 6-3 for those who keep the score. Yes, the Warren Brown just gives me a note that that was the first assist of the ball game. Right you are, Warren. Strike out two fly balls. Two flies to center field by carrying a tricky to strike out by ball. Now we have Georgie Selkirk, the right fielder, left-hand batter coming up. George hit 328 this year. George is 29 years old. Hits the first ball, a high hopper. Down to second base, Whitehead to McCarthy, and Selkirk is out. Last half of the second inning with no score as yet. Two men have been retired, and boots him up, Tony Nazari, and listen to the applause he gets. Always been a gentleman, fine, great ball player. They like him a lot here in New York, and they should. Tony bats from right hand. Ball one outside. Tony is 33 years old. This year, Tony has hit quite as well as usual, batting around 250. Count, two out, nobody on. Strike called. Hubble had a nice fastball over the inside corner with Lazzari pulling away. Now he gets a handful of dirt there, drying his hands off. And the count will be ball one and strike one. Last half of the second inning, no scorers yet, two out, nobody on. There's the hot smash back to Hubble. He knocked it down, picks it up, crosses to McCarthy, and Lazzari is out. That ball was hit right smack on the nose, and the applause is for that stop of Kyle Hubble. No run, no hit, no errors, no score at the conclusion of two innings. Four.
Well, sorry, Tom, and we brought up that matter of the no assist in that inning since there was nothing else from there on. But it was an oddity that we got in as far as the last half of the second inning without having one of the infielders handle the ball on the ground and have to throw to first base. It seems to me now that the game has definitely settled down into a warfare between the pitchers, which, of course, lives up to all the specifications of the experts going into the series. They recognize that Gomez was the superior pitcher in his league, and there is no doubt in anybody's mind about Kyle Hubbell's place in the National League. And so far, there hasn't been very much of anything between the two of them. It's been strictly a pitcher's battle so far, and now we have to sit around here for a while and just wait to see what the break is going to be. And in this sort of a ball game, one never knows when it might pop out. All right, Tom.
Going into the first half of the third inning, and the National League empty, the Giants coming to bat, and their second baseman, Burgess Whitehead. Burgess, 26 years old this year, he hit 286. Rusty Gomez winds up. Ball one, burning fastball over the plate, but too low. One hit apiece so far. Head
a bounding ball through the box. A small shot by Corsetti to throw. He's out. A beautiful play by Frankie Corsetti. That was a bounding ball just out of the reach of Lefty Gomez. Frankie Corsetti was off for the crack of the bat, took that ball right over the second base cushion, right on the air, flipped it over to Luke Gehrig for the put out. The applause is for Paul Hubbard. Listen to it. You know, pitches left-handed and bats them right-handed. One out, nobody on. A foul upstairs. Well, there wasn't much of a scramble for that ball. It was hopped right into the waiting hands of a gentleman who I do not believe is going to toss it back. Here we go. Ball inside. Sharp breaking hook ball, just a little bit close. And the count is ball one, strike one on Carl Hubbell. Inside, and it's ball two. Lefty Gomez had plenty on that one. It's getting quite dark here at Yankee Stadium in New York. Decided advantage, I'd say, for Lefty Gomez. Fireball pitch. That's a long snag going out to right field center, going back and clear the wall and makes the catch. That ball was hit exactly 340 feet from home plate. Sumter taking that ball just about 4 feet in front of the barrier, out in deep right field. Mr. Hubbell tagged that ball very, very well. It's a base hit in an awful lot of ball fun. But not here in facing Yankee Stadium. Two out. First half of the third inning, no scores yet. What's score at the top of the batting order coming up? It's Joe Moore. Last time up, he was out. Gary Gunn assisted. A strike called. Lefty Gomez pitching, and Bill Zickey to catch it. Coming. Ball two. Another sharp breaking curveball is outside. Direction, ball one, strike one. Ball over the plate, but just a little bit low. And it's ball two and strike one. Lefty dropped that one, was good enough. Here's the windup. Ball two and strike one. Foul back. And the count is two and two. Joe Moore coming up for the second time. Lead off man of the Giants. The first time up, he was out. Gary Gunn assisted. After the ump tossed that ball to Dickey, the Yankees whipped it around the infield. Lefty Gomez taking his glove off. Nice putting it back down in the box. And here we go. Ball two, strike two. Oh, a hot slant right back to Gomez. A similar play that ended the Yankee time advance. A hard smash through the box to Lefty Gomez. Grabbed his glove hand, tossed over to first for the put out. No runs, no hits. No errors, Mr.
Brown. All right, Mr. Manning. The surprising thing, I think, of these last two innings, as far as the Yankees are concerned, is their presentation in a new light. Heretofore, all of us that have been writing and talking about the Yankees have been mentioning their power at the plate. These last two innings have shown them to be a very snappy defensive ball club. Every one of those plays in the last inning and every one of the plays in the second inning was a very deftly handled ball by whether it was outfielders or infielders. That play that Frank Rossetti made down in second base there was, I think, the most spectacular one so far. The outfield has certainly performed up to a standard that we didn't expect since we regarded them strictly as hitters. All right, Scott.
A round of applause that's seeping through your loudspeaker now is for El Dubi Gomez, who's pitching this afternoon for the Yankees. Now, Lefty doesn't get very many base hits during the regular season. When he gets one, Bauer is the most colorful picture. That happens to happen this afternoon when Brian watches every move and transmit it to you. Last half of the third inning, we have no scores yet. The Yanks coming to bat. And the pitcher, Lefty Gomez, who bats him and throws him left-hand. Hubbell. Bounding ball down to Whitehead. An easy chance to play to McCarthy, and Gomez is up. It was a
rather feeble swing that Murphy took at that ball. Nice easy hopper that Burgess Whitehead took knee high and tossed it over to Johnny McCarthy for the out. Again, the top of the Yankee batting order coming up. Frankie Cosetti, one of the three Italian boys that play on the Yankee team. Then Cuso and Chiosa, the Italian boys in the Giant team. Last time up, Cosetti drew a face on ball. The pitch, ball one, it's low outside. This is the first game of the World Series. Boys will play 4 out of 7. Two here at Yankee Stadium, and then they move over to the Polo Ground. There we go. Strike, ball. Now had a fastball in there, right over the heart of the plate, struck high. A called strike, and the count is ball one and strike one. Last half of the third inning. Yankees starting, one out, nobody out. Here it is. Ball two. That was over the plate. A little bit too low. And the count is ball two and strike one. Red Wolf, third baseman. Frankie Cosetti, right-hand batter is up. Ball two and strike one. It is inside, ball three. Frankie Cosetti is a tough little boy to pitch to. Always wiggling up there, giving the pitcher no target to shoot at. One out, nobody on. Hubble winds up at ball three and strike one. It's in there, a called strike. Now has that one in there, fell high and right over the heart of the plate. Frank Rossetti elected to work out the swing, and the call is ball three and strike two. 3-2, and this is the big one. Winding up. There's a long drive going to left field. It's foul by 1 foot. Third down in the corner. Everybody jumped to their feet. We waited for a moment to make sure that that ball was outside, not more than a foot down the left field corner, and that perhaps is the hardest hit ball of the afternoon. That count 3-2. Carl Hubble came in there with a fast ball, much to the liking of Frank Cosetti, who had a toehold in anticipation of just that kind of a pitch, and he nailed it. Low line drive that went rickety, scooped down on that left field corner, and was fouled by not more than a foot. Bit of umpiring there by Phil Stewart. His name was on that play. Ready to go. 3-2 the count. Foul high. Mancuso ripped off his mask, started back, but it's in the stand. Mikey Cosetti has a count of ball three and strike two. Red on the feet. Umpire behind the plate this afternoon. Each time he tosses that ball out, the boys sort of dirty it up a little bit with a little of that infield dirt. Ready to go again. Hubble has the ball. Ball three and strike two. Fouled down third. It's fouled by not too much. So close to being a fair ball. The fella grabbed it, puts it over to first base. Frankie has his eye on that hot corner. Frankie's a little fella, not very heavy, but he certainly can pull those balls down toward third base. Playing the last half of the third inning. Yankees at bat with one out, nobody on. Frankie Cosetti up with a full count. There's the windup. High ball going out to left field. Joey Moore didn't move very much if he has it. Frank Cosetti is a long left field hitter. Joey Moore, the giant left fielder, was playing out there pretty near to the track. Only moved about 4 or 5 yards to make that catch. Now we have two out. Nobody on, Red Wolf at bat. Two trips of the plate. Rossetti threw a base on balls and tried to go more in left field. Red Rolf up. Last time up, he struck out. Two out, nobody on. Hubble winds up. It's a ball. Sweeping curve ball, not too fast. Missed the outside corner, and the count on Rolf is ball one. Not quite a strike here. Now, as it was while the Giants were at bat, no sunshine or anything like that, but brightening up a little bit.
Pop that one down left field with a disturbing foul into the stands. And the count is ball one and strike one. Edroff is back in the batter's box. Again, Carl Hubbell has a new ball. That's the cleanest looking ball that we've seen out there this afternoon. Ball one and strike one. Two out. And nobody out. Fly ball going out to left field. Joey coming over to the line under it. He takes it, and that's all for the Yankees in the third inning. No runs, no hits, no errors. One.
There's no reason to suspect, Tom, that these pitchers aren't still in complete control of the ball game. Hubbell has been almost perfect, I might say, since the first inning. Outside of Frank Rossetti, who hit a ball rather sharply into left field, and Rolfe, who just hit a dinky fly out to Joe Moore, none of the others have been able to get the ball past the infield. Hubbell seems to have recovered whatever lack of control it was that he started out at in the game. He's getting that ball just about where he wants it. And with these two clubs having a pretty good understanding of such weaknesses, if weaknesses exist in the other side's offensive array, why, I think Carl will go along pretty well. He seems to be perfectly self-contained, whereas Gomez, on the other hand, is just as effective and seems to be perfectly content with the way things are going on. I don't know if that I blame him. All right, Tom.
Yeah. All right, we're going into the first half of the fourth inning. We ought to get a bit of excitement now on both sides. We have Martel, Ott, Lieber coming up for the Giants. And in the fourth inning, all the Yankees will have coming up will be DiMaggio, Gehrig, and Dick. Group coaching at first and Snyder at third for the Giants. Here we go. Martel up. Gets the first ball. Fits to the mighty drive going deep. Pope going back on the cinder track, and he has it. Run out. Dick Martel, as I told you in the first inning, was a long left field hitter. He got a hold of that first ball pitch. It was a high ball, a better high. Stepped into it, drove it deep, out into left field with Holt, who was playing deep, running back near the center track, and making the catch. Now we have Novinat coming up. Now he's 28 years old. He's batted 294 this year. Last time up, he flies the first baseman, Lou Gehrig. The first pitch, ball one. Sharp breaking curve ball with a low outside to a left-hand hitter. Ball two. Fast ball right under Bell's chin. Stepped away from the plate. Now the count is 2-0. First half of the fourth inning. There's a bounding ball through the box. Lazzelli goes over, makes the play. It's close. He's out. Boy, what a play that was by Tony Lazzelli. That was a bounding ball over the head of Lefty Gomez. Tony Lazzelli running away from first base. Grabs that ball to his right. Then leap, pivoted, shot the ball over to Lou Gehrig, just ahead of Mellott. Only by about one step. Two outs, nobody on. Beautiful play by Tony, the best play of the game so far. Hank Lieber is up. Right-hand hitter, strike, he swings and misses. Two very beautiful infield plays there, one by Clozzetti and this one by Tony Lazzelli. Strike one, Lieber hitting. Strike two. Makes a fighting cut at that fast breaking curve ball. Swung over it, and it's strike two. The high infield fly ball and back of second base. Lazzelli the gel for it, under it, he has it. That's all for the Giants in the fourth inning. No runs, no hits, no errors. One.
All right, Tom, the thing that I've been waiting for since the World Series game began just appeared out there now. We've heard tell throughout the summer that maybe Tony Lazzari, the veteran of many a campaign up here with the Yankees, was slowing down a little bit. Well, he certainly gave no evidence in that play that he made out there in this last inning when he ranged over back at second base and came up with a ball. The fact that he got in front of the ball was not so much a part of the play as his ability to throw while definitely out of position. He was getting rid of that ball almost while he was running straight away from where he had to throw it. And the two activities combined give Tony at the present time the lead for the spectacular feeling in this series. All right, Tom, here's Joe DiMaggio now.
No All right, the big guns of the Yankees. One of the big reasons why the Yankees are so far out in front in the American League. DiMaggio, Jerry, and Dick. Giant outfield playing way back. Jimmy Ripple is standing still on the other side of the track, standing out there about 360 feet from home plate, waiting for DiMaggio to hit. Here we go, Hubble pitching. Ball one. Sharp breaking curveballs. On a foot outside. Outfielder Joe Moore is playing right on the track. It's approximately 380 feet from home plate. Certainly play Joe DiMaggio deep. And they should. The bounding ball between first and second. Right hit coming over. The throw, he's out. Joe hit that ball right on the tip of his bat. And it was a sizzling little grounder down between first and second. Looked for a moment. He had a chance to beat it out for plate hit. His bat came over, scooped the ball up, got it to Johnny McCarthy at first, and DiMaggio is out. Lou Gehrig, last time up, Lou Gehrig got a hold of a ball, but hoisted it much too high, giving center fielder Hank Weber a chance to get under it for the putoff. Giant pitcher, Carl Hubble, wiping the perspiration from his brow. Now he's ready to go. Gehrig the hitter. Left hand batter. Up. Strike ball. Boy, Connor Hubble could have had a lot on that one. Fastest ball he's tossed all afternoon. Right over the heart of the plate. There it is. Outside. Ball one. Strike one. Oh, yeah. Heart sort of begins to beat. Double quick time on this baby. Gehrig stepped up to that plate. What a picture. Big broad shoulders and big strong arms. One and one. Foul. Clear over the stands. Over the back of first base. Quite a hoist to get it over the stands here at Yankee Stadium. With three decks, you know. Strike two, ball one. Starting in the fourth inning, and it's quite a ball game. A pitcher's battle so far, each side having one base hit. DiMaggio getting a hit for the Yanks, Bartel for the Giants. Strike two and ball one. Inside, driving Gehrig away from the plate, and the count is ball two and strike two. Catcher Bill Dickey hanging around home plate. He'll be next. Bartel is playing over. Almost in back of second base. Whitehead has shifted over between first and second. McCarthy playing 2 yards from the line. Here we go.
Gehrig swung with a bad ball, just at 20, and it's a strikeout. Carl Hubble came in there fast with a sharp breaking third ball. Looked like it was coming over the part of the plate. Gehrig started the swing, and apparently tried to hold the swing, but he was going in there so hard, unable to hold it, and swung around, missing that ball by several feet. Looked kind of bad on that one. For a strikeout, two gone, and nobody out. Always a picture with that Gehrig at that plate. And that was a real picture in Warner Central Park at the moment. All right, Bill Dickey up, two out, nobody out. It's in there for a called strike. You'll notice that from Gehrig, Dickey came to bat. Hubble shot the first ball in there, a straight ball with all the speed that he has at his command, keeping the ball just a little above the knees. Full, good pitcher. The founder down first. McCarthy has it. McCarthy running the bag to the foot out. Unassisted. No run. No hit. No error. No score to conclude the four inning. Four.
Now, the interesting thing to me in that inning was at the time that Gehrig was at the bat, I happened to be looking down into the Giant dugout, and Bill Terry is down there, sort of out in front of his players. And to distinguish him from the rest of them, he has a towel around his neck. I've been trying to figure out for several innings why that was, but I gathered he was waving his outfielders around, particularly his center fielder, Hank Lieber. He was steering him around with the aid of his arm and the towel. And I can see now that the distance that these Giant outfielders play away from the plate and naturally away from their own dugouts, with Gehrig at the plate, it's no wonder that Bill needs a towel around his neck. From that distance, one Giant looks the same as another. This is the first time that I've noticed Gehrig taking that active part in the direction of his outfielders during the progress of play, but it was quite interesting to me. All right, Tom, here comes the next one.
Road
going into the first half of the fifth inning. The fans are beginning to group in unison. This time it happens to be for the Giants. Well, I thought Carl Hubbard was getting a little better as he moved along. What's your opinion of that?
Well, he broke off again. I think Tom was the finest breaking curve that was thrown by either one of these pitchers this afternoon. At least that was the way it looked to me. It didn't start out as a bad pitch, but it broke so sharply that it made Gehrig look bad, didn't you think so?
Yes, sir. Well, here we go. Give me Ripple. Right fielder, first man up. Ball one. Third ball was outside. Last time up, Ripple flies to left field. Selkirk has moved back over the cinder track. Joe DiMaggio has moved over right center field. Strike. Foul. Ball one, strike one. Leslie Gomez pitching. Drive down the left is foul. Roar goes up from the crowd there. Some of the fans are on a different angle than we are. Takes a little longer to see whether that ball is curving foul or not. All right, it's strike two and ball one. First half of the fifth inning, no scorers yet. Each of the teams, the Giants and Yanks, have made one hit. Ball two, a fast ball that knocked Jimmy Ripple down. That's the first ball of the product that's knocked down this afternoon, getting out of the way of the ball. Ball two and strike two. Lefty Gomez pitching, Bill Dickey catching. Two and two, the foul back, and the count remains two and two. Ripple got a piece of a good curveball from Gomez that time. Well pitched ball, it was breaking over the outside corner. Umpire tossed out a new ball, gave it to Dickey. Dickey shot it down the row. Rolf got some dirt, rubbed it up, and now Hornsby has asked for the ball again. Tosses out another ball. He's telling Bill Dickey now, stop throwing that ball in the dirt. Just a little by-play by the boys, nothing serious. Yanks threw that ball around the infield. Now Gomez has it. We're ready to go again. Jimmy Ripple, the hitter.
There's a base knock in the right field. Fans out there. Selkirk has it, and so is the second. Ripple stopping at first. Second Giant hit of the afternoon. That's out 2-2. Lefty Gomez came in there with a straight ball inside. Ripple pulled away and pulled the ball with it to right field for a base knock. Johnny McCarthy coming up, first baseman. Pretty tall boy. Batson goes left-handed. Last time up, fly to Terry. The first pitch, plenty wide of the plate. A beautiful stop by Bill Dickey. Ball one. It was a curve ball that started to break over the outside corner. By the time it finished, it was on the outside of the right-handed batter's box. Here it comes. Ball two. Again, it's outside. Yelling that there are a lot of Giant fans here in Yankee Stadium this afternoon. There's the bounder down. And Ripple is on the second. There's the throw. The throw is cut off by Cosetti. Ripple goes to third. And McCarthy stops at first. That was a hot pass between Lazzari and Gehrig. Lazzari coming over fast. It was scored as a base hit. A base hit for McCarthy. Ground ball that Lazzari came over. He was able to touch that ball, but unable to hold it. The ball rolled out to right field. This is the first scoring threat of the afternoon. The Giants have runners on first and third. Nobody out. And Gus Mancuso coming up. The pitcher again. McCarthy is on first. Ripple is on third base. Gomez pitching. Mancuso up. That was a pitch out. Because all Ripple was too far off third base. Perhaps the Yankees were expecting a squeeze play or something that time. Anyway, Dickey wanted to find out, and inside baseball, he called for a pitch out. Here it is. The foul upstairs, strike. Ball one and strike one. Gus Mancuso, the Giant catcher, is the right hand batter. Last time up, he flies the right field. First
first half of the fifth inning. No score as yet. And the Giants have runners on first and third. Ripple on third, McCarthy on first. Ball one, strike one. Here it is. Strike two. A beautifully pitched ball right under the handle of the bat. Over the inside corner with Mancuso taking a terrific cut. It's strike two and ball one. Johnny McCarthy staying pretty close to first base. Luke Gary holding him on there. Here it is. It's a long drive to right field going foul. It is. It's foul in the stands and the count remains two and one. Mancuso reaching outside for that pitch. That ball around the infield, not very rapidly, but each one of them stealing the ball. The Yankee infield is playing back. Going to give up that run on third base, apparently. Here's the pitch. Another foul. That one's upstairs. Upstairs and back of first base. Gus Mancuso, the batter, at strike two and ball one. Take a look at that picture for you. Second base combination. Crosetti and Rosario are playing pretty deep. Ted Roth is playing deep enough. Gehrig is right in the bag holding McCarthy there. Gomez tosses over to Gehrig. Going to have Carter. Just letting McCarthy know that he's in there. It's right two and ball one. Mancuso up. Gomez stretches. Here he is. Rosetti to Rosario, out at second, out at first, double play, and Ripple crosses the plate. And he got that with Ripple on third base, McCarthy on first, Mancuso hits a ground ball with Rosetti. Rosetti picked it up, crossed to Rosario, getting McCarthy, Rosario to Gehrig, getting Mancuso. Double play, and the score, the Giants won, the Yankees nothing. Now we have Burgess Whitehead coming up. The Giants second base, right-hand batter. Last time up, he was out short to first. The pitch right down the alley, a called strike. Lefty Gomez, you know, the fans throughout the circuit haven't appreciated the fireball that he possesses, but he's got a lot of it. Outside of it's a ball. Ball one and strike one. Many of the ball players have said that Gomez has a ball. He throws just quickly as fast as Bob Fellow, lefty Bob throw. Ball one and strike one. There's a long smash to right field. It's fouled by 2 yards down the right field corner. Again, the fans jump to their feet on that line smash by Burgess Whitehead. Boy, I believe we've had more shots down the foul lines in this particular game than any game we've seen in a long time. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, don't take time.
Ready to go again. Gomez has the glove on for a moment. And the count is strike two and ball one. First half of the fifth inning. The Giants batting two outs, nobody on. The windup. There's a base knock over Gehrig's head down to the right field corner. Ball carries off the wall. He's going to second. There's the ball. He goes to the second standing up. And the first extra base hit of the World Series in 1937. And the third Giant hit of this inning. First half of the fifth. Now we have Carl Hubbell. The Giant pitcher coming up. It was a mighty one by Burgess Whitehead. A line drive. It was about 15 feet over the head of first baseman Luke Gehrig, and the ball going down into the right field corner. Hit the barrier down there, 296 feet from home plate, and fouled it out to Georgie Selkirk, but it was ample time for Whitehead to reach second base standing up. The fourth hit of the ball game, the third hit of the first half of the fifth inning for the National League Giants. Here's the pitch to Hubbell. He hits the first ball. Listen, Paul, I don't want the radio audience to think that. You tell me about
that's
that.
That's right. That one just missed, and it looked like it since missed. And when it started to come, that's been going on all afternoon. Right down those foul lines on both sides of the field.
Well, it was so good that Carl Hubbell was all the way down to first on his way to second anyway. One thing I don't like about radio announcers is to kick out there, you know, and make you believe that there's no chance of a base hit when there isn't.
Going again. Has a bounding ball to Gehrig. Gehrig comes up with it. Steps on the bag for the put out. Now it's just a pass off for the Giants in the fifth inning. One run, three hits, and no error. We've completed four and a half innings of this first game of the Blue Ribbon Classic. This is Tom Manning speaking. I've enjoyed it thoroughly working with you, Warren, and forecasting for you, the radio audience, and the remaining part of the ball game will be broadcast by Red Barber of Cincinnati, Ohio. Before Red comes in, Warren Brown.
All right, Tom. Well, we certainly had a little excitement in that inning, and looking back at it, it was a good thing that Joe McCarty, directing the Yankees, decided to play this infield back for a double play and sort of spot the Giants that one run, because after Whitehead, two base hits came along, there were two outs at the time. And it looked as though the Giants were on their way to a big inning. The interesting thing about the inning was that those two hits which started it were both made by left-hand hitters. And both of them were able to pull the ball into right field. And doing that off the left-hand pitcher, Gomez, that would indicate that maybe they are gradually catching up with Lefty. He was hit rather hard in that inning. And, of course, he was very fortunate in one way that there was only one run scored. And one run, as we all know, against the Yankees is not supposed to be much run. However, they don't see Hubble every day.
All right, Red, glad to see you down here.
Well, thanks a lot, Warren. And needless for me to say, I'm glad to be here. 1-0 favor the Giants, for the Yankees up in the last of the fifth inning. Call Hubble. Doesn't have to have anyone tell him that he has a lead of one run. He's used to having to work that way with the Giants. He's pitching now to Hope, who hits the first pitch high and short out into left center. Bartell backs back, drives everyone away, waits under it, and takes it. No hold. The right-hand hitter went after Hubble's first pitch, pops it up to Dick Bartell, who went back into short left center field. And it is one up, one away, last of the fifth inning. Hubble has now retired the last 12 Yankees in a row. So far, he's pitching a one-hitter. 1-0 favor of the Giants. Gomez retired 11 Giants in a row before Ruffles first stepped in the fifth inning single to start off New York one run inning. The only score so far in the 1937 World Series. Up there now is George Selkirk. Strong left hand batter. Takes outside. All one. A curve thrown by left handed pitcher to a left hand hitter that broke off just around the knee. Selkirk pitches up his trousers, loops his shoulders a little. He turns toward right field. Playing him as a pull hitter, out of the center deep and pulled around toward right. Hubble out of his stick delivers. This one's a curve low outside under the knees for ball two. 2-0 to Twinkletoes Selkirk, the young man who had perhaps the hardest spot ever to fill in baseball when it was his job to take over right field when Babe Ruth hung up his spikes as far as the Yankees were concerned. Selkirk, coming at six, lays it down once, twice, Hubble set, in with it, swung on and missed the strike one. Selkirk didn't like that one. After he swung and didn't get it, he beat it heavy under the bat down off the plate as if to say, there was my cousin pitch and I didn't claim Ken with it. One out, nobody on. Last of the fifth, Giants leading 1-0. Hubble down, ball three, just missing the outside. Hubble has given us a sight of that famous screwball just one time. That is, it really counts this afternoon. The one time he exploded it was when he struck out Garrick in the fourth inning. Hubble taking his time. Slips into the dirt now after getting the sign. Straightens up, swinging straight. Leaves it down with a great left arm. The pitch is one. 3-2. Now is a change of pace curveball, slipping its way down in there. Every ball that looks a little backwards thrown by Hubble is his screwball, because he throws such an assortment that a lot of his curves breaking down would sail. You really see that screwball, you know it. Pitch is hit a high fly ball into short right field. Back goes second baseman to Whitehead. Under comes Ruffle, and it's Ruffle for the catch. That was one about 2 miles. One up and one down. Whitehead was all the way back out in pretty bad piece of right field. He had to make up his mind. First that he'd take it, then second that he wouldn't. Ruffle, waiting right there, came in for the kill. Two away for the Yankees. Last of the fifth inning. Giants out front, 1-0. The hitter is Tony Lazzari. Then McCarthy drives through him in the fifth inning. Most important base hit of the afternoon. So that sent Ruffle around the third. Lazzari in a crowd, took that stick sharply. Right-hand batter. Wings and fouls it into the dirt. Two for retrieve, strike one. We have both pitches left-handers today, and both of them flirting with Lady Luck, as both are wearing 11. However, the dame cannot smile both ways at the same time. Hubble has never lost an opening World Series game, and Gomez has never lost a World Series game. So somebody is going to get hurt before this day is over. Hubble pitching to Lazari. Ball strike two. He picks up the inside corner just under the ladder. Right over the short rear. Nothing in two. Two out. Nobody on. Last of the fifth inning. Giants ahead 1-0. Outfield sharp at one left. Greg Lazari is an out and out full hitter. The pitch is into the dirt in front of the plate. Ball one. Time the trouble has gone anything and looked wildly. However, that's not a wild pitch. A wild pitch is only so scored when there's a runner on base to advance and take advantage of it. Just ball one. 1-2. The trouble has retired the last 13 Yankees in a row, giving up just one hit, one base on ball, and that's coming in the first inning. First third of the first inning. Up into his swinging stretch, delivers. Outside, a curve that did not come down and in to a right-hand hitter thrown by left-handers. 2-2. Down in shortstop, purple box, Dick Bartel, visiting with his uniform, putting his cap down. Mellon, the reformed right fielder, who's done a great job at third base, who's through dirt, who's had his terrain around him. He's put over pretty close to the foul line. Right head is over almost back to second base. There's a 2-2 pitch. Third strikeout for Carl Hubbell. And for the first time, pitching with a one-run lead, he makes it look just that much better. Bob has now retired the last 14 men in a row. We pause for station identification.
Stadium and in the NBC booth at the top of the stand looking over the World Series. And the strong point about Hubbell now, since Red has told you how he's been rolling everybody down since the first inning, is that in these latter stakes, it seems to me he's making the Yankees hit a bad ball. That last pitch in which Tony Lazari struck out wasn't a very good pitch, but he lashed at it rather wildly. That would indicate to me that Hubbell has the boys on the hip, and nothing but a break is going to beat him so far. But we'll see. All right, then.
Thank you, Warren. It's the top of the Giants batting order up in the sixth inning. Joe Moore coming up for his third time, and he so far hasn't gotten the ball out the infield. Hitting left-handed, he takes outside, just missing by a hair for ball one. Joe first up in this ball game, grounded out to Gehrig unassisted, then gets back to Gomez in the third inning. Pitch, strike one call. 1-1. Joe Moore standing deep in batter's box and goes over to catcher Bill Dickey, who remains down in his crouch, not straightens up, sets his minute for target. Swung on and fouled into the upper deck of the stands and back of third base. Going for a high outside pitch. No difficult enough. And it's 1-2. First man up in the sixth inning. Gomez pitching behind now as the Giants leading 1-0. The outfield is toward right. Moore swings, sends it right back through the middle. Safely through into the center field. A ground single. Back past the mound over second out into the center field for hit number five. For the Giants and hit number six of this first game of the 1937 World Series. Joe Moore singles right through the middle. And with nobody out for New York, top of the sixth, the Giants already ahead 1-0. Moore leads down off first. Gehrig has to roll the inside corner. And Dick Bartel, who got the first hit of the series, has 1-2 is up. Dick's inside, throws against him, ball one. Momentum to go on a fan ball, just under the waist on the inside. Bartel stands. Turn toward right field, but when he steps in on the pitch, he throws for a short. Gomez delivers. Bartel swinging, hits a high fly ball into right field. Selkirk waiting in the middle of the track for it and has it. Halfway down to second, Joe Moore turns at the catch and retreats back to third base. One out. Top of the sixth. Stepping up is Melvin Ott. Who was a New York Giant regular at the age of 17, and he's been ever since. Just as close to catch a Dickey as he can get. Outfield toward right. Mel swings and misses as he took his cut. One that came down under the shoulder on the inside. Sam hitter up against a left-handed pitcher. Gomez drives up the left hand, rubbing it across his shirt. Takes the sign hurriedly, sets in pitcher position, goes out of the shoulder. Fastball wide, and it's 1-1. One away. Joe Moore, very fleet, knows his way around those bases, leading down on first. Posting Luke Gehrig, the endurance player of all
baseball. Puts the corner against him. Luque coaching back to first. This on is strike two at all. Lead sharp foot down just above the knee. You see these fastballs throw for Gomez, and then you look at him. Stunner, Willowy, sending himself into a petrified gate when he throws. You wonder where he gets the strike. Hot swinging, it's a high foul. Up to the back into the upper deck. Yankee Stadium has the ground floor, the first level, then a mezzanine, and then a still higher upper deck. So it's three floors of spectators. Not quite a sellout. A few hundred seats are left. Upfield quarter right on Mott, who leans back from one under the chin. Now the level's off at 2-2. One away here in the top of the sixth. Gomez looks out for the scoreboard to check himself. Not waiting. 2-2 pitch is swung on, lifted high, foul. Mickey coming back underneath it, over by the Giant dugout, and makes the catch. Watch them out in front of the Giant bat. Resting in their box right in front of New York's dugout. Two away in the top of the sixth. Joe Moore, who opened up with a single through the middle, is still at first base. Hank Lieber, who's been given chance after chance by Bill Terry, who's received another strong vote of confidence from boss Bill by starting him in this first of the 1937 Fall Classic games, is now coming up for his third time. Lieber was struck out by Gomez to win the first inning. Popped up to second base in the fourth to Lazari. Now he's up for his third trip, 0 for 2. The outfield deep around to one left. Swinging, fouled it straight back onto the screen. Strike one. Hank, big, blonde. When you look at him, nobody has to tell you that he was one time a fullback. Built that way. Right hand hitter who cowtails that war club and swings from his heels on up and out. And Joe Moore ended up going anything, leading down off first. 270 feet away. Lieber steps back out of the box. Sergio Gomez taking too much time. Lefty, very, very nervous. The perfect entrance is a trouble, even though they're both left-handed. Delivers outside. One and one. That ball sticking down. Wasn't quite even close. Lieber steps back out of the box. Picks up a little dirt in his right hand. Now sets. Extends right up against the plate. Feet widespread. That puck way back. Well over his right shoulder. Swings and it's a long belt. He's high out into the left. Holds back under it and takes it. That's all for the top of the sixth inning. And the Yankees coming in for the last of the sixth. The Giants lead 1-0. As calm Carl Hubbell starts pacing out toward the mound. Into the mic, Warren Brown.
All right, Red. I was going to pay particular attention to that last half inning because it was the one in which Gomez had the pitch after he was roughhoused a little bit just before that. And when Joe Moore, another left-hand hitter, led off with that single through the infield and out in the center field, I began to wonder whether Gomez was losing his stuff or not. However, Lefty is still out there battling him because he recovered, and while the Giants have one run off him, they certainly haven't distinguished themselves any more than the Yankees themselves have against the pitching of Carl Hubbell. Gomez is still the effective pitcher and a great pitcher, and there's been nothing happened in this game to disprove that. As he goes through his work out there, as Red told you, he seems to be a little more busy than Hubbell is. Hubbell is certainly a very calm sort of a person, and playing behind that one-run lead, he has the advantage. All right, Red.
The applause greets the appearance of Lefty Gomez as he steps up to hit against Hubbell, first up in the last of the sixth inning. Hubbell out there pitching to protect his 1-0 advantage. Gomez hitting left-handed. Thrown out. Whitehead to McCarthy, his other time up. He ducks, hits the dirt as one comes right in at the point of his shoulder. Ball one. Well, that certainly wouldn't be the accolade that one pitcher gives another. But at any rate, it was a warm salutation. As the boys say, Gomez was low bridge. He had to pull his ears in a hurry in order to keep them both. Up now, drying off his hands, rubbing the dirt off of them. Mancuso doesn't look at all sympathetic. Squatting down, Crouch now stands up. Gomez dried off his hands. He couldn't get them quite dry rubbing along his uniform, and one of the Giants through them. The giant bat is Rosenthal. He used it and tossed it back. 4-1, of course. I see a little toward left. Tough pitching. High inside. Ball two. And Huso turns over that ball. Umpire Ormsby, who examines it, takes it out of play. And another one's put in. Turns straight back to Hubble. 2-0 to Gomez. First up. Last of the sixth inning. The Giants lead the Yankees 1-0. Got that run. Top of the fifth.
All of the time, the last 14 Yankees in a row. Up to number 2-0. Inside and high for ball three. Hub is behind on his control now for the first time since he walked Rossetti. First up against him in the ballgame. Earl Combs, coaching back of third. Coaching back of first, Fletcher back of third. Bogoffin, sitting out of Hoopnahawa. Gomez trying to play from behind, ahead 3-0. Up comes in and gets it. The automatic strike. 3-1. Just above the knees. Now on. Playing up close by third. Up tries 3-1. And registers. Strike two, ball. Up behind 3-0. Has thrown his last two pitches right through there. Picked up cap for a moment, wiped the perspiration off his forehead. It's a hot, muggy, steaming sort of an afternoon. So he was sitting in the upper deck of a double boiler. Up ready for the 3-2 pitch, aims it. It's swung on and foul tip back. The first time the Gomez has offered it one. Up this time, first and the last of the sixth. You've offered it away by way of third baseman Ott. Coming it up, he walks calmly over toward the mound. There are two rather cool customers. Out at third, up along the mound. Another cool one's Mancuso under that bat. Right side of the infield, talking it up between them. Harvey and Whitehead. The hub, an easy swinging stretch. He doesn't wind up. Delivers. Low inside for ball four. Hubble has given up two walks. Gomez hasn't walked anyone. And both times, Hubble has walked the Yankee. He has dabbed the old baseball axiom that the walk, the first batter up in an inning, is fatal. Best number by passing Gomez, his opposing pitcher, first up from the last of the sixth. What's the potential tie going on first and somebody else? Now let's see how the Yankees go about trying to get back this one run. One run through the season hasn't meant anything at all to the Yankees. But one run against Hubble in a short series such as the World Series can mean a lot. After all, when the ball game's over, one run's a whole lot if you haven't got it. Gomez leading down on first, not very far. Crosses straddles the corner against him. Frank Crivetti, the leadoffer's up there. He's been on once with a walk. First inning. Outfield is pulled around to the left. He's right hand hitter. There's a throwdown to first, out of time. This goes high outside for ball one. Gomez ran down on first a little bit. And when Mancuso took that outside pitch and threw to first, it was cut off by McCarthy, who had run in anticipating a bunt on the part of Grissetti. So even if Gomez had been a long way off first, which he was, there was nobody at first base to tag him. Hutt pulled up, stepped back to grass at third. Whitehead pulled up on the baseline at second. There's an attempted bunt, which is fouled back onto the screen. 1-1. Frank Grissetti, with a high, piercing voice, can be heard from short, regardless of the size of the crowd. Up there, hitting right-handed. Count 1-1. Mancuso. Calls for time, walks out to the mound, talking to Hubble. And now both men of the giant battery have their caps off, and both are rubbing the beads of perspiration off of their faces. Mancuso, with a great big handkerchief, nice tucked back in his pocket. Comes stumping, stolidly, back of the plate. Swarthy little Gus Mancuso. There's been a lot more to the giant pitching than most people realize the last few years. The bench pulled up on the infield, outfield, usual depth and around foot left. Rossetti up, counts 1-1, nobody out. Gomez off first. Up pitches. There's another attempted button, it's foul back. Strike two. Hubs come right in with these last two pitches. Rossetti has not been able to lay them down. 1-2. Nobody out. On deck to get after Cassetti. He's wrong.
What's Nasty going to be trying to throw a double play ball right now? There's been one double play in the ballgame. That was hit into by Mancuso as he got credit for batting in the one run so far of the struggle in the fifth inning. Runners on first and third. Scored 1-0. Giants. Ballgame here at Yankee Stadium. Sort of a cloudy, smoky afternoon. Pizzetti waiting now behind 1-2. Hot pitchers. Pizzetti swings. It's a line drive down in the left field for base hit. Joe Moore takes it on the first bounce. Gomez holds that second. A sharp single for Pizzetti into left field. A long single. And I imagine the guys wish now that Pizzetti hadn't fouled off those two pitches when he was trying to bunt. Lovell, after getting 14 straight Yankees, walked Gomez. The second pass he's given up. Walked Gomez, first up in the last of this sixth inning. And Pizzetti, after vainly trying twice to sacrifice, swung on a 1-2 pitch and hit a clean line drive single to left. That's the second hit off Hubble. And now the tying run is at second and nobody is out, and the batter is Red Roth. The guy defense is pulled in after the curtain. This is going to be a bunt. Roth takes high outside. Mancuso throws to second, and Gomez is safe as the ball gets away from Bartel. Mancuso has Gomez picked off second base, but his throw gets away from shortstop Bartel. And Gomez slides back in and is safe. He was absolutely caught off second base. A pitch out coming down to Roth. Outside for ball one. Mancuso throwing to the third base corner of second. And Gomez cleanly caught off. And it is an error on the play for Bartel. The first error of the series. Bartel letting Mancuso throw getaway when Gomez was put cleanly off second. Error for Bartel. And Gomez remains at second base. Roth, a left-hand hitter, standing close to him, back of the plate. Hot pitches. Roth takes high outside. Mancuso threatens to go around to second, but this time Gomez is glued to the bag. He learned his lesson the easy way. And we're having excitement here in the last of the sixth as the Yankees are threatening to rise into their richly vaunted power and strength. Roth up, DiMaggio on deck. Hot pitches inside for ball three. And Roth at the head. Hubbard is behind with his control. This New York crowd at the moment seems to be a Yankee crowd, judging from the way they are applauding these balls that Hubbard is missing the plate with to Red Roth, the Yankee third baseman. Nobody out last of the sixth. Pizzetti is at first. Gomez is at second. Roth up there. 3-0. Hunt comes in. And Roth takes strike one call. Roth up there, wiggling and dancing. Much as a barefooted dancer on the sand of the Sahara at high noon, trying to disconcert Hub and make him miss his target. Hub in the pitching position, going out of the shoulder. There's a bunt foul, back out to third. 3-1 pitch, attempted bunt. It was fouled off. Nice 3-2. Walks around back of that mound. So this is just batting practice. I think that's one of his greatest assets. Man is never unnerved. I think the way Hubble pitches, especially in times of stress in baseball, is a good lesson for most of us in the everyday world. Just very quietly keeps his chin out and keeps going as best he knows how. 3-2. Runners lead off first and second. Swung on, fouled. Right over into the Yankee dugout. Still 3-2. The pace is rather slow. The Giants become thinkers. In a clutch, they figure out everything they're going to do, and they're saying that everybody on the ball club knows exactly what the defensive move will be. Well, drawing off that left hand of his, throws away the rosin bag, steps up onto the rubber, shrugs his shoulders. Look at those runners. Now looks down, takes the sign for Mancuso. He's staying in his crouch. Roth crouching, left-hand hitter over the plate. Roth pitches. There's a high foul coming up and back. Mancuso coming back, cannot get it. It lands just back on the screen. Still 3-2. Still the old
blood pressure keeps pounding away up there at a baseball high for excitement. The Giants drew first blood this afternoon, the only blood so far that's been let. They got a run in the fifth inning. They're leading by that margin, 1-0. However, here in the last 2 6, a walk, a single, and then an error allows Yankees to be at first and second and nobody else. The 3-2 count is to Red Rock. Up looks around. Gomez leads off second. Teddy comes down off first. Up pitcher 3-2. There's something out into left center field. It's a hit. Gomez holds up back third base and the bases are loaded. A single to left center field. And the bases have fallen. Nobody out in the last of the sixth. And now the Dynamiters, DiMaggio, Gehrig, and Dickey. Here's the program. Down in the Giant bullpen, one of the relief pitchers is being warmed up, but he is completely hidden from view, so we can't tell you who it is. You cannot see in either team's bullpen here at the stadium the potential relief pitchers as they groom themselves to get ready. Single into left center field by Roth. Advance to Petty to second base and Gomez to third. They both had to hold to see whether Joe Moore could come in and make the catch, which he couldn't. Now the base is loaded, nobody out. Pass to the sixth inning and Joe DiMaggio. Josie Joe is up there, right hand hitter, deep wide spread. He spread eagle right through the middle of batter's box. Gomez leading off third, Petty off second. Roth down off first. Defense is deep around foot left. Hub delivers. It's swung on. It's a big hit. In comes Gomez. Presetti around third is heading for the plate. Two runs are in. And runners are on first and second. Around the third, and when the throw in from center field came to third base, DiMaggio, running like a deer, made it on the throw in to second. So the Yankees go ahead 2-1. Nobody out and runners on second and third, and Bill Terry has walked out to the heart of the diamond to hold a personal confab with Hubbell, Mancuso, and shortstop Bardell. Bill Terry, making his first public appearance in the series, comes out from under the shelter of the dugout to the pitcher's mound to talk it over. Signals are being relayed to the bullpen. Hubbell is to stay in. That's the decision. Gehrig is up, and he's to be given a deliberate base on ball. That's all one. That's the strategy. Lou Gehrig, first base is open. Nobody out. The Yankees lead 2-1. And DiMaggio and Ralph are on second and third, respectively. Gehrig will soon be at first. And there is ball three, a deliberate walk being given to Lou Gehrig. Not because they like him, but because they don't want to pitch to him right now. There's ball four, and Gehrig is purposely put on first. Again, the bases are loaded. With nobody out in the last of the sixth, Bill Dickey is up there. Bad Bill, as the Yankees call him right now. He'll be Sweet William if he delivers. The infield is caught up on the base pass. The left-hand hitter is Dickey. Hubbell pitching. Low outside for ball one. The Yankees have caught and passed the Giants, and they're threatening to do still more. Here in the last of the sixth of this first game. The Giant hitter defense right up on the base pass. Bases jammed. Runners at all 3 points. Dickey waiting. Takes low Ball two. One just under the knees. Ball two. Two to one. The Yankees in this Hitters City Series. Hubble, one of the toughest spots of his life. It's a sweltering hot afternoon. Cloudy. Hutton has extra heat applied to him right now at the moment, aside from the weather. Mickey waiting. He's ahead. 2-0 pitch. Swung on. Has a ground ball. The bases remain full and the run scores.
Back
in the dark resources of the Giant bullpen will come another of Jerry's mound crew to assume a burden which apparently was left in the last game of the 1936 series. It seems as though we are right back beginning today where we left off last fall. McCarthy's out there on the mound. Hubble still standing around. Whitehead has come in from second. Bartell, Mancuso. Harry Gumbut, tall young right-hander, is coming in to relieve Paul Hubble. Eight of the Yankees faced Hubble in the last of the sixth inning. Seven of them got safely on, and five of them have scored. Harry Gumbut, very tall, making that long walk. The bullpen for the Giants is hidden in the stands behind right center field. He has to make all that distance as he comes into the ballgame. In other words, he gets pretty well acclimated before he ever gets to the mound.
Number 14, now pitching.
Gumbut first announced over the loudspeaker, and now Kaufman. And it is Dick as he steps to the mound. It's Dick Kaufman, the former American leaguer. Before the relief pitcher came into sight, Gumbut was announced as replacing Hubble. But after the pitcher came into sight, it was announced as Kaufman. Dick Kaufman, right-hander, who has been prominent as the Giants' number one relief man the last couple of years. Kaufman throwing down to Mancuso. We've had so much fireworks lately. While Kaufman's limbering up, Warren, how have you seen it?
Well, it seems a long time to go back that far, Red, but I'm still thinking about that play at second base when the ball got away from Dick Bartell after it seemed as though Mancuso had trapped him off, and it was amazing the way the Yankees leaped into action after that break, which was very definitely the break for which they've been waiting throughout this entire ball game. It's also interesting to me to note that when Gomez had his bad inning, which was the fifth, he managed to escape from there with one run. When it came time for the Yankees to tear after Hubble, one thing or another, combined with their own powerful hitting, particularly those singles, which were hit with a great deal of authority, certainly ruined his afternoon for him very rapidly. There was one possible play in this inning, a play that Whitehead tried to make on the ball Bill Dickey hit down. It was a slow hit ball, and Whitey made a noble try for the ball, diving after it, but he was unable to get the ball and get it in time to make a play for anyone. It seems interesting to me, Red, at the present time that we've gone through an inning here with the Yankees making five runs, and so far there is no semblance of their patented home run. It's been almost in one of these big innings of the Yankees. It seems as though somebody walks up there and hits one out of the park. Isn't that your impression of the Yankee big inning?
Right you are, Warren. And there's also some big stuff brewing down there, which doesn't very often happen. Mistake about announcing Gumbut as the relief pitcher is causing a furor, and I guess you know the technicalities involved. Suppose you go ahead and explain it, Warren.
Well, after he becomes announced officially as the pitcher, he is definitely the pitcher until at least he throws one ball. And when Kaufman appeared on the mound, Art Fletcher, the Yankee coach, immediately went over and started complaining to the umpires about it, and the result was it was quite a conference. Now we have Gumbut back there.
Gumbut.
So that's the way that thing works out. I think that's the first time in World Series history that I've seen anything like that. Frequently in baseball games, we've seen a pinch hitter announced and go up to the plate. For example, a left-handed hitter going up to hit and a pitching substitution is made, whereupon another announcement is made of a right-hand hitter, and the right-hand hitter takes his place at the bat without the left-hand hitter having been up there at all.
But as far back as I can remember, this is the first time we've had a pitcher in the game without doing any more than warming up in the bullpen and walking all that long distance. And it certainly is a long distance from that giant bullpen in right field. So that now that law and order has been restored again, we really do have Harry Gumbert out there pitching, and I congratulate you, Red, on detecting that, even though Coughlin got in ahead of him.
Well, thanks a great deal, Warren. And I guess baseball is like life itself. You can never tell just exactly what's going to happen. First, Gumbert is announced, and then a correction. And apparently that's all there is to it, so most of the folks up here think that Kaufman's coming in to pitch. And then suddenly a technicality is involved. And it was involved around whether the public address announcer was officially informed that Gumbert would pitch. And evidently he was, because that being the case, Gumbert has to pitch. Had the announcer himself, just on his own authority, said Gumbert would pitch, that wouldn't have had any bearing. And now up there now is Lazari. But the throw goes over to first base as Gumbert officially goes to work. Harry Gumbert, the former Baltimore Oriole, goes again to first base. Here's the situation here in the last of the sixth. With one man out, Selkirk is at first, and Hoag is at third. The Yankees are riding out in front, 5-1. Up there at the plate on a crouch is the bat stick. Gumbert delivers inside for ball one. And now technically, Gumbert is in the ball game. He's delivered one pitch to Tony Lazari. Outfield around toward left. The Yankees lead off first and third. A curve floating down in there for ball strike one. Lazari looking at it and takes it. Tony hit back to Hubble in the second inning and was promptly tossed out at first. And then Hubb struck him out in the fifth. That was when Hubb wound up his great sequence of 14 straight Yankee victories. And that was the last of that string. The Yankees put on a string of their own here in the last of the sixth. There's a slow ball hit through second base on the right center field. In from third comes Hoag. Around the third goes Selkirk. A change of pace was met with a half swing by Tony Lazari, who was trying to hit behind the runner, and he singled through the middle, right underneath Burgess Whitehead, who was running up on it. And in comes another run, and the Yankees are now plus five, leading 6-2-1. And Gomez, who was first up in the last of the sixth, is now coming up for his second trip in the last of this inning, the 10th Yankee to bat, and just one man is out. A single right back through the middle by Lazari. That's in still another Yankee run. And Gumbert, who had to come out and pitch to one man, now is taken out, and Coughlin comes in.
Coughlin, number 14, now pitching for the Giants.
And now at long last, as the fellow once said, Coughlin is in the ball game. Dick Coughlin comes into the ball game, and as he comes in, the Yankees are ahead 6-1. Gumbert pitched to one batter, Lazari, who singled and knocked in the Yankees' sixth run. Up now is Gomez, who was first up in the last of the sixth, then drew a walk. The fateful pass. Gomez hitting left-handed, Dick Coughlin, tall, rugged right-handed. Off first is Lazari, off third, Selkirk. Gomez says Coughlin's taking a little too much time, so he steps back out of the box. Ballsby, of course, calls time. The outfield a little toward left. Swinging, strike one. Coughlin came down with a slant, just above the knees on the inside. Gomez chokes that bat just about an inch, pumps it back and forth. Shot infield, pulled right up on the base pass. Low inside for ball one, right across the shins. One and one. Fletcher jumping up and down back of third. He's very, very elated. Looks as though he's filled with the elixir of life. The pitch is low. And it's ball two. Two and one. 6-1 in favor of the Yankees. Six runs in the last of the sixth. Apparently, that isn't all. Gomez in a crouch, takes low, and it's ball three. 3-1.
up there, very belligerently. Now walks around back of the mound, kicks a little dirt, pulls the peak of his cap down snugly over his eyes, splits into the black loam topsoil of the Yankee Stadium, looks toward first, toward third, now delivers 3-1. Low for ball four. Luis Gomez has walked here in the last of the sixth inning, and this reloads the bases. Still just one out. Gomez, twice up here in the last of the sixth, is both times given an Anioppi to first base. This pushes Mazzari down to second, and Selkirk down to third. Selkirk already at third. Bases full, one out. The batter is Frank Pezzetti, who singled sharply once in this sixth already, up for a second time. Takes it way outside. Ball one. Little shortstopper from the Yankees. Choking that war club. Standing right off the plate. Easily balanced. Base is just as cool as a tenement house in a busy district. Top and right hands it down, and it's swung on and ball tipped back.
One and one. Gomez at first. Mazzari at second. Selkirk at third. Mancuso goes out to talk to Kaufman. Infield lazily passing the ball around between themselves. This has been a severe jolt to the Giants, this last of the sixth inning. And the Yankees are still the Yankees, running absolutely according to form and the dope sheet. No variations at all. Kaufman comes down, Grizzetti swings. It's a fly ball into short left field. Up comes Joe Moore on the dead run. Hundred make the catch, and the runners are forced to hold where they are. The throw in is cut off 2/3 of the way toward the plate by third baseman Mal Lott. That's out number two here in the last of the sixth inning. Red Rob, hitting left handed, steps up. Two men gone here in the last of the sixth. Base is full. Kaufman drying off the fingers of his right hand. Rob pulls a black cap down snug around his ears. Pumps that stick back and forth. Half feet a little toward right. Pitches outside, a change of pace. Ball one. Rob, all set. Easily balanced. He has 1-for-3 this afternoon. Takes low inside. Ball two. It was Kaufman's fastball. The sights were not quite high enough. This vast throng, many, many thousands, here at Yankee Stadium, wildly hilarious, that even a foul ball through the first 5.5 innings has sort of settled back. Either completely filled to a point of satiation with happiness, or else completely crushed. Low inside for ball three. And with the bases loaded, Kaufman is behind to Red Rock. He hasn't hit his target once. Three and all. He misses once more. Walks in a run. There's a strike. Just on the knees on the inside. 3-1. Rob stepping back out of the box. Steps in again. And Guzzo down on his crouch. Calls for it. Runners don't lead down very far. Now they start streaking off. Gomez isn't cutting up down at first. He's conserving his energies. The pitch. Outside for ball four. And a walk to Ralph with the bases full. And in comes another Yankee run. Ralph is started with batting in. That run. 7-2-1 in favor of the Yankees. Six runs to the good. Selkirk scored on that play. Mazzari moving down to third and Gomez to second. Up now is Joe DiMaggio. Swings. It's a high fly ball deep out into center field. Lieber goes back and pulls it down. Well, that's all for the first six innings
and it looks like it might be all for the afternoon. However, a ball game is never over until the last man is out. But first, before anything else is said for Warren Brown, we pause for station identification.
At the Yankee Stadium, and this ball game coming to you through the National Broadcasting Company and its associated stations has certainly provided a big inning, finally, after we remained around here for upwards of 5.5 innings watching quite a pitching duel between Lefty Gomez and Carl Hubbell. The Yankees certainly caught up with Hubbell in that last inning when they secured 6 runs and 7 hits. Not all of them, of course, off of Hubbell, for he was gone, and during the balance of the inning, we had 2 giant pitchers in there. Harry Gumbert, who seemed to come in because of a mistaken identity on his way from the bullpen, and Dick Kaufman, who finished up for the game. There were a few bases on balls crowded into that inning, and certainly one break which went against Hubbell at the time he was in there. However, full credit must go to the Yankees for the ability with which they leaped to the attack once they had an opening, and it was the first opening in the game that Hubbell had given them. All right, Red.
Lefty Gomez is ready now to start the 7th, pitching to Jimmy Ripple. He does strike one call. Sharp breaking curve just above the knees. Ripple has 1-for-2 this afternoon. He started off what looked to be the Giants' beginning of the 5th with a single. Takes low outside, it's 1-1. Gomez has never lost a World Series ball game. And it looks as though he'll still be able to camp on that record for another few hours. 7-1, favor of the Yankees. Ripple swinging, foul tips it back. Strike 2, 1-2. First Giant up in the 7th. Yankees ahead 7-1. After Ripple, McCarthy, then Mancuso. Infield straight away. Upper step on the left side. Full depth on the right. Outfield a couple of steps toward right on Jimmy. Full hitter. Swings. There's a fly ball going out into left. Cole coming up fast. Takes it on the run. It's all for Ripple. One up, one gone to 7. Batters McCarthy. He has 1-for-2. He singled through Lazari in the 5th inning to send Ripple around the 3rd base. Jimmy later coming in on Mancuso's double play ball. The only run the Giants have. McCarthy, a rookie, takes strike 1 call. This has been his rookie year in the big leagues. And at the end of his first year in the majors, here he is in the World Series, and he has 1-for-2 at the moment, up for his 3rd time. Swings and misses at a curve, strike 2. Missed that one off the end of his bat. They're playing McCarthy just as they did Ripple as far as the outfield is concerned, toward right, left side of the infield the same, and Lazari is a step or so more down toward first. High inside, on the chest for ball one. 1-2, McCarthy. Very slender. Big Bill Dickey sets his mitt. The ball is bounced easily back to the mound. Gomez traps it, throws over to first. That's all for young John. Getting back to the box. 2 up, 2 gone. Up at the 7th. Hitter is Gus Mancuso. Sends back out of batter's box. Takes the meat end of his stick. Knocks the third out from his spikes. Now stepping in, close over against the catcher. Fences straight away. Strike 1 called. The little hook was snapped in just above the knees on the inside. Right-hand hitter. Gomez. Elongated, slender left-hander. Delivers. Fastball inside. 1-1. Gomez draws up his knees almost under his chin. Flails those arms around his backman. Ties himself up into such a knot you wonder how in the world he ever gets out of it. Delivers. Inside. Ball 2. 2-1. Lefty pitching just as he has all the afternoon. Taking the sign. Then going right to work. Takes time out for a blow right now. Looks into the dirt as though he were reading a letter from home. Straightens up. Blows again. And this time, it's Mancuso who backs away and says, well, have the blows on me this time. Just steps in. Double swinging stretch. Gomez delivers. Mancuso hits it high out into short center field. DiMaggio comes running under it and takes it. And it's nothing across for the Giants in the top of the 7th. And more observations from Warren.
any ball club down for the time being. Naturally, with Gomez being as effective as he has been throughout his American League season and throughout this ball game, with the exception of the fifth inning, it was hardly likely that the Giants were going to cut loose and have any big inning off of him any more than it was that the Yankees were going to have one off of Carl Hubbell. But that, to me, is one of the reasons why there are probably more than 60,000 people here looking at this baseball game. One never knows what is going to happen in a ball game. At the very minute that Hubbell walked Gomez, who was a pitcher, no one suspected that he was due for the trouble that happened. And so, Red, looks like they're ready to start again, maybe on Kaufman this time.
Dick Kaufman, ready to pitch to Lou Gehrig. And does so, calls strike one, buzzing it down just above the knees on the outside. Gehrig has 0-for-2 official trips. The only time he got on was in the sixth with a delivered walk. Later came around to be scored. Outfield very deep, ground toward right. Columbia Lou, tremendous favorite here, sets, gets back from one inside up against him, tight for ball one. One and one. Dick Kaufman, the third, the Giant pitches. In the ball game and in the sixth inning. Now working, starting the last of the seventh. Gehrig swinging, it's a sky-high foul up on top of the stands and back of third base. Hits up at the edge of the upper facade and drops all the way back. Like a bum. Oh, that's one bum. The people weren't dodging. They were fighting to get close to it. Hoffman comes down with a change of pace. Just missing outside. Count levels at 2-2. Gehrig certainly had to lay the engineering eye on that one. Dick delivers. Missing inside. It's 3-2. Gehrig turned a little bit toward right field. Digs in solidly, standing on those piano legs of his. Takes outside for ball four. And Gehrig is walked first up in the last of the seventh. That's walk number three, given up for Kaufman. Walk number six, given to the Yankees. Nobody out. Last of the seventh. Gehrig now leading down on first. Phil Dickey, who has one hit out of three tries. Stands waiting. Batting left-handed. Very, very tall and slender for a catcher. Outfield toward right. Dickey pulls. Infield pull up around second. Phil takes a curve outside. Ball one. Hoffman missing. Seven, 2-1. In favor of the Yankees. Nobody out last and seventh. The man on first. Low for ball two. Kaufman's having trouble with his control. It's no new experience for Kaufman to be pitching against the Yankees. Most of his major league career has been in the American League. Washington for the Browns. Being released by the St. Louis Browns, came over to the National League with the Giants. Pitches inside. There's a throw down to first, not in time, by Mancuso. And it's 3-0. 3-0 to Bill Dickey. Gehrig on first with a pass. Dickey set. Kaufman misses inside with his 3-0 pitch for ball four. And Dickey trots off to first base. And Gehrig moves down to second. The six Yankees that Kaufman has pitched to, he's walked four of them. Dick Gamble's back onto the mound. Bill Terry standing out in front of the Giant dugout, looks down into the dirt for the moment. Imagine Bill doesn't feel like joining a choir and singing one of his now famous solos. Batter up is Merrill Hogue, who drops a bunt down toward third and rolls foul. Strike one. Nobody out. Last of the seventh. 7-1, favor the Yankees. Gehrig on second, Dickey on first. Result of passes by second relief pitcher Dick Kaufman. Much attention is focused on the relief pitchers in the last of the sixth inning. And there was a slip up from the general ship somewhere. Shumpert was announced, and he was sitting in on the dugout. Hadn't thrown a ball, hadn't even been in the bullpen. He had to hurriedly go out and pitch to one Yankee, even though Kaufman was announced following him. Kaufman couldn't come in until Gumbel pitched to one man. Now Holger, right-hand hitter, takes high outside. A throw down to second, isn't in time, and Bartell, on the third base side of second base, leaning for the ball, has Husky Lou Gehrig come right into him, much as an end tries to take out an opposing tackle. Gehrig's fighting to get back to the bag, and little Bartell in his way. Well, you can guess the result. Gehrig got back to the bag. One and one. Hogue down in his crouch. He has 0 for 3. Doesn't choke the bat. Tries to butt, and this one is popped foul back of third. So far, the Yankees this afternoon have been unable to lay down bunts when ordered, and then have been hitting with two strikes on them, base hits. It seems to be a pretty good baseball strategy. It's working today, anyhow. Working at 1,000. Now can Hogue continue the Yankee policy? One and two. Buddy away. The runners lead off first and second.
Kaufman swirls as though he would throw back to second, but he doesn't. Gehrig taking a long lead. There's a ground ball hit to third. Hot scoops it up to second. One away. The relay on the first. It's a double play. Gehrig moving down to third base. And Hogue was unable to continue that Yankee policy so far of the sixth inning. Trying to bunt, fouling off two pitches, then hitting safely. He fouled off his two bunt pitches, then hit into a double play. Hot to Whitehead to McCarthy. Gehrig on the double play, moving down to third. It's two outs. Pass to seventh. Up now is Selkirk. Turns sharply toward right. Swing, fouled it. Sends around. Strike one. George has 1 for 3. His singles came in the sixth. Along with one of the Yankee hits came. There was a sharp one wrapped through the hole between first and second out in the right field. Outside, ball one. One and one. Two out. Gehrig on third, 90 feet away. The Yankees lead 7-1. Outfield pulled around toward right. Sucker takes the change of pace low. Two and one. Ormsby working balls and strikes. Barr behind first. Basil behind second. Stewart behind third. Kaufman comes in. It's an outside pitch which is rolled down to short. Bartell picks it up. Throws over to first. In time. McCarthy leaning in. Makes the stretch and the pickup. That's all for the Yankees. And at the end of seven innings, it is 7-2-1. Warren.
Well, Red, that was interesting to watch how Kaufman righted himself after that bad start out there. Since he got into this ballgame, as you pointed out, he certainly was very wild. And after he walked the first two men in the inning, that seemed to me to be the opportunity for the Yankees to start a lot more trouble there. But the play that Ott made to turn that drive by Hogue into a double play helped Kaufman out considerably. And I suppose that the Yankees are content with what they have now, and I don't know as I blame them. 7 runs at this part of the ball game going into the first half of the eighth inning seem to be a lot of runs, considering the way that Gomez has been going since we started this ball game. Well, here's the first giant hitter coming up, Red, so back to you.
Regis Whitehead will start it off. We're going to the beginning of the eighth. At the end of 7th full inning, for the Yankees, 7 runs, 7 hits, and no errors. While for the Giants, 1 run, 5 hits, and 1 error. Burgess Whitehead, who has so far the only extra base hit, takes strike one, call right down in first pitch of the eighth inning. He doubles. Last time up, he has 1 for 2. Swinging, supply ball out into center field. DiMaggio waiting lazily under it and has it. So for Burgess, one up, one away in the eighth. And Wally Berger is coming out to bat for Kaufman. Big Wally Berger, former big fam of the Boston club of the National League. Well, there's not going to be any slip-up on who's going to pinch hit. Umpire Ormsby and the public address announcer meet, and they tell each other exactly what's coming off.
Berger, number 3, batting
off.
The first pitch to Berger is high outside. Ball one. Wally is the big strapping six-footer, hitting right-handed. Gomez delivers. Berger swings. It's a high fly ball, long out of the center. DiMaggio waiting. Waiting. Takes it. Throw for Berger. Two up. Two away. Top of the eighth. Jojo Moore, the thin man of the Giants, or the Gore's ghost, as he's sometimes called. Last steps up to hit for his fourth time. Means the Giants are starting their fourth batting around. Joe single through the middle in the sixth. He has one for three. Hitting left-handed, then deep in the box. Takes strike one. Call. Sharp curve down above the knee. Moore is steered as one of the most dangerous first ball hitters in baseball. And he hasn't swung on a first pitch this afternoon. Takes low inside. Ball one. One and one. Joe pumping that stick. Low outside. He was ahead. The man behind. Gomez comes in there. Low for ball three. Three and one. Pitch. Ball. Strike two. Right. More swinging. It's a high foul. Back of third. Clock goes over, but he cannot get it. Back into the box. Still 3-2. Two out. Nobody on. John has the eighth inning, which is the first of the eighth. The series is being opened. Yankee Stadium, the American League ballpark this year. The Yankees, the home club. 7-1. The argument of power supremacy. 7-1, favor the Yankees. Four swings on another 3-2 pitch. This is a fly ball into short left field, and it drops safely in there for a base hit. Moore turns to the left at first, then holds on, dropping a fly ball single in short left field, about 15 feet inside the foul line. It's the second straight hit for Moore. He's the first Giant to have more than one blow. This is number six off Gomez, and it's the first hit off Gomez since White hit doubles with two out in the fifth. Two out, Moore leading off first, and the batter is Dick Bartell. There's one for three. Swings on the first pitch. It's a long line drive deep into left, and it's caught right back up against the stands by left fielder Cole. Ball for the top of the eighth. The Yankees are still a plus six runs. One.
The effective pitcher that he has been right down the line. That base hit that Joe Moore dropped over there in the left field wasn't such a severe one that it would have startled anybody. And at all events, it came when there were two out, which is a good time normally for base hits to come, especially when there are no one on base. Since his little mishap in the fifth inning, Gomez has gone right straight through this ball game, and he's pitched, I wouldn't say remarkable baseball, but he's pitched the kind of baseball that people have been expecting from him. Because of the fact that Wally Berger was used as a pinch hitter in the game, we will have a chance this afternoon to look at four of the Giant pitchers. And, Red, because we can never be sure who the Giant pitchers are after that practice that was established in the sixth inning, suppose you take a look at him out there and decide whether or not he's Smith. He looks like Smith to me. Do you think he is Smith?
Well, if he's not Smith, Warren, he's certainly wearing Al's uniform and looks just like him. Al Smith, the down of a little left-handed third ball artist. The fourth Giant pitcher thrown against the Yankees here in the first game, 1937 World Series. Smith has just taken his place there on the mound, simply throwing down to Gus Mancuso. In the season of 36, Smith was just about tops for the Giant reliever. One time, Bill Terry said that he's just about the best relief pitcher that he ever saw, especially coming in there with a curveball. However, this year, Al has not been tremendously effective. And the relief burden among the Giants has had to be shifted around from man to man. However, it's a well-known fact that when the Giants want some real relief pitching, Hubble has usually been the fellow who went out there and made one run stand up.
in the last of the eighth inning is Tony Lazzari. Lots of people are now beginning to leave as we go into the last of the eighth inning. Lazzari hitting right-handed, swings on an inside pitch, missing for strike one. A steady stream of people trying to beat the mob, which will be pouring out of Yankee Stadium, six more outs. Now leaving already. Lazzari takes low inside. One and one. Al Smith coming on for the last of the eighth. And it's the New York Yankees. Seven runs, the New York Giants. One. 7-1. Smith down. High. Two. Two and one. Al's very stocky. Throws a sort of side arm. Doesn't wind up. Outfield is toward the left on Lazzari. Tony takes up against him for ball three. 3-1. Smith taking the return from Mancuso, back slowly back to the mound. Now comes down. It's in there, swung on and hit deep and far back into left, and it's a home run for Lazzari. Say that 3-1 came down in there, and did Lazzari go after it and get fat on it? The first home run of the 1937 World Series. Hit high, far into the lower spectators, deep behind left field, and well up among them. No question about that. And now it's 8-1. And Gomez is up. Swings and misses, strike one. About the one thing left to make Gomez's cup of joy overflow is to get a base hit. He, like any other pitcher, dearly loves him. Gets back from one up against him. One and one. Lazzari really pickled one for keeps just a moment ago. Smith comes down with a curve in there. Ball strike two. That one drove Gomez. That then hit a banker step and then broke away from him and down over cleanly. One ball, two strikes. Nobody out. Pitch pulls it deep into right field, and Ripple, misjudging it, then goes back to make a spectacular catch. Gomez, set to hit that pitch, fell into it, and got his whole weight behind it and drove it deep out into right. Ripple came in, misjudged it at first, then saw the ball was going to carry far over his head, started running back. One foot slipped underneath him, but still he managed to get strength from somewhere and leap high into the air to make a spectacular one-handed catch and save himself. Frank Rossetti hits the first pitch of line drive right to Pellon. And that's two away in the last of the eighth inning. Warren's going to tell you more about Ripple's catch. I can see him sort of licking his chops in preparation for that. Line drive hit Frank Rossetti to Pellon for the second out. Now it's two away, last of the eighth inning. Nobody on and Red Roth up. He has 1-4-3 official tries. Hitting left-handed, he tries to bunt and foul tips it. Strike one. Left-hand batter, left-hand pitcher, Al Smith. The fourth giant hurler in this ball game since the sixth inning. 8-1, favor of the Yankees. I feel straight away. Roth doesn't go after it, but it's good. Ball strike two. Smith burnt that one through his fastball. Ripple put it deep out and right. Off down his crouch. Leans back from one inside. Ball one. One and two. Off up there hitting. DiMaggio leaning down on his right knee on deck. Off cocks that stick back in his left ear. Swings. It's a high fly ball out of the left field. Joe Moore goes back one step. Now comes in one and has it. That's all for the last of the eighth. Warren?
Red, I noticed that you suggested that I was going to talk something about that catch that Ripple made in this inning. First, I want to say that this inning stirred memories in me rather than excited me about what happened here. When Tony Lazzari got his home run this afternoon, the first one of the 1937 World Series, I was thinking about one that he made last year, which came with three men on bases.
That was truly a sensational one, since that doesn't happen very often in World Series history. When Ripple started after that ball out there, believe it or not, Red, I was thinking of a catch he made in Chicago not long ago with three men on bases at a time when some of us thought that the pennant lay between the Giants and the Cubs. And if he hadn't made that catch with those three men on bases, why, maybe there would have been a little different in here. I think that's the way everybody accepted it, so that when Ripple went up in the air and caught Gomez's long drive, much as I hated to see Gomez lose in his life's ambition to make a base hit, I couldn't help think of that catch in Chicago. So now back to you, Red.
Mallott takes the first pitch of the ninth inning. Ball, strike one. Gomez looking just as strong and fresh as when he started. Comes right back in. On swings and misses. Fast and burnt down around the knees. Strike two. Gomez gives his crowd a little yank. Straightens up. Knees and elbows akimbo. He comes out of it. Strike three, swinging. And on three pitches, Master Melvin is struck out to start the ninth inning. That's the second strikeout for Gomez. He got his first strikeout at the expense of Hank Lever. With a third out in the first inning. And here is Hank up again. Hank has 0 for 3. The Yankees had 8 to 1. One out, nobody on top of the ninth. John's batting. Lever takes. Go outside. Ball one. Gomez still shining brightly underneath that record of his of having never been beaten in World Series competition. Inside, and it's ball two. 2-0. Now feeling very deep on Hank. He gets a hold of it. He'll give it a ride. Pitch. Right in. That one is taken. 2-1. A steady stream of people going out of every possible exit here at Yankee Stadium. They figured some time ago the outcome of the game was decided. Lever swings. It's a fly ball out of the center. DiMaggio coming in. Makes the catch on his chest.
Two away, top of the ninth. Up steps Jimmy Ripple, who found Major League Baseball was much more lucrative and pleasant than being an ambidextrous paper hanger. Up field toward right. Ripple hitting left-handed, takes inside against him, all one. Jimmy looking very calm and cool. To say that he is a left-handed hitter is only half the truth. The pitch. Call strike one. When Ripple came to the Giants, he hit from either side of the plate. Terry insisted that he hit as a left-handed swinger. Low, outside, 1-2. Count slightly in his favor. Two out, top of the ninth. Nobody on. The Yankees, 7 runs to the good, leading 8-1. Two balls and one strike. Gomez delivers. Low outside, and it's 3-1. Ripple looking very coolly. He's 1 for 3 this afternoon. Single, first up in the fifth inning. Ball four. Walk, going down to first base. And that's the first base on ball given up by Lefty Gomez this afternoon. 7 of the Yankees received gratuities. Ripple on first, 2 out. Batter is young Jack McCarthy. Now, John, if you don't know him very closely. Swings and misses. Strike one. That one right down in there. McCarthy, slender, young first baseman. He's finishing his first year in the majors by participation in the World Series. Swings, foul tips that one back for strike two. Gomez has promptly gone ahead of him with his first two pitches. Nothing in two to McCarthy. Dickie down his crouch. First baseman Gehrig back in his fielding post. Ripple's allowed to lead it far off first. He wants to. High outside. Ball one. 1-2 to McCarthy. Gomez at the moment seems to be just slightly tired. He gives you the impression that he is trying to put a little bit more on the ball than he has any other time. Pitch is high. 2-2. Two out. Top of the ninth. McCarthy waiting. Dickie calls for the pitch. McCarthy swinging. Foul tips it right back onto the screen. Count still hangs at 2-2. Field close toward right. Things are quiet right now. About the only hubbub from the spectators are those who are moving, trying to get out of the park. Pitch misses outside by a hair for ball three. And it's 3-2 to Jack McCarthy. And now the running hit is on for Ripple at first base. He'll be breaking Gomez's arm. He does. Pitches in, rolls slowly down toward first. Gary comes in to field it, picks it up, and tags McCarthy out as Jack comes running into first base. Gehrig, with a big grin on his face, stuffs that baseball in his hip pocket, grabs Gomez by the hand. The two of them shake hands and are the first players off the field as they dash into the Yankee dugout and disappear from sight. And the Yankees win, would you say, convincingly? Well, I don't know of a better word. And to speak a convincing truth, it's been a great deal of pleasure for this old redhead to be up here talking to you the last four innings. And now this is Red Barber handing you over to the very capable hands of Warren Brown, who is going to put you just right on how everything happened this afternoon. It's funny how it did. Warren.
Well, thank you, Red. And summing up this ball game, the first of the 1937 World Series, it was, after all, strictly a matter of pitchers. It started out that way between Lefty Gomez, the best pitcher, I suppose, in the American League, and Carl Hubbell, who was certainly the superior left-hander in the National League. Right up until the sixth inning, it was a ball game between these two. And if anything, Hubbell seemed to be the more effective of the two. In the fifth inning, the New York Giants had crowded Gomez sufficiently to score one run, which looked like a lot of runs. In that inning, manager Joe McCarty of the Yankees, who has steered them to a couple of pennants in a row and one World Championship, had to make up his mind whether he wanted to pull his infield back and play for a double play and stake the Yankees to, or the Giants, I should say, to one run and take his chance on what would follow. That's what he did. Pull his infield back, and Gus Mancuso hit into a double play. Out of that, the Yankees were able to escape with only having the one run scored against them, which came in on the double play. And that was the one big inning, or the start of one big inning, that the Giants were able to have off Gomez all afternoon. On the other side of the field, Hubbell, after walking one man and allowing a hit in the first inning, was unhittable right on through to the sixth inning. Then he did a thing which baseball folk always think, since there is a lot of superstition in baseball, they always think that if you walk the first man, and especially if you walk the pitcher, there's going to be trouble. I don't think that any of the more than 60,000 people in this Yankee Stadium this afternoon suspected that when Lefty Gomez got his base on balls to open the sixth inning, that there was going to be quite as much trouble as there was until the last man was retired. Before the last man was retired in that inning, the Yankees had driven Hubbell out of the box, and because of a mistake in announcement, Harry Gumbert was in there in time to pitch to one man who got a base hit off him, and Dick Kaufman finally got the inning over. Before he did, there were seven runs scored and six hits. And that was the ball game. Later on in the game, in the eighth inning, with a fourth Giant pitcher in action, Al Smith, Tony Lazzari, batted out the only home run, and incidentally, the only Yankee extra base hit of the ball game. That made the score 8 for the Yankees, at which they rested on their laurels in this first game. In looking over my scorebook here, I find that the Yankees have 8 runs and 8 hits, which seems to me to be a very effective way of doing business. Going into the game tomorrow, which will also be played at the Yankee Stadium, the second game of the series, I don't imagine either manager will change from his plan. Before the game today, Bill Terry told me that he intended to come in with Cliff Melton, and I imagine he will come in with him, Melton being the young left-hander who has won his 20 games in his first full year up here in the major leagues. Joe McCarty of the Yankees said that he intended to pitch Red Ruffing tomorrow, and Joe was inclined to go a little further. When he talked to me, Joe is an old friend of mine, and he spoke his mind out to me down there in the Yankee dugout before the game. He said that he didn't think that he would go away from a platform that he established rather effectively last year. He said that it would be Gomez today, Ruffing tomorrow, and after that, Monty Pearson and Bump Hadley. And unless the Giants pull themselves together and tear after Melton, I imagine that's the way the Yankees will go through with the same four pitchers that they used in the World Series last year. The game today was certainly an interesting one. There was a lot of spectacular fielding on both sides. And while there wasn't the tremendous burst of hitting that we've been led to expect from these two clubs, and particularly from the Yankees, who have capitalized on their power to win an American League pennant off by themselves, nevertheless, they did mass together and put across one big inning. All right, George Hicks, I'll say goodbye now, and it's yours.
Well, all I can say is that the game is over and that historical first marker is down. The tips are down and the Yanks are up. And the crowd is now pouring out. By the time the game was well underway, by the second inning, practically every seat in the Yankee Stadium was filled. There must have been close to the 60,000 mark and over. The new additions, you know, seats 71,000 at Yankee Stadium now. And so we've had the first game. Right now, as we look down from our tier, the third tier right at the edge over home plate, the diamond itself and the green outfield is simply dotted and spotted all over, and the exits crowded with these thousands of spectators who are taking home their memories of the first game of the 1937 World Series. As I looked at it, very much of a spectator this afternoon, the walk of Gomez in the sixth and that slashing single to center by DiMaggio with the bases loaded for the first runs, well, I think that broke Hubbell's heart and the Giants' spirit for the game today. And, by the way, the only homer today was Lazzari, the first man up in the eighth. He pulled a terrifically long and high homer into the left field grandstand. It must have gone at least 400 feet. Nobody on, but that was the homer of the day. And so I guess that's about all we can say. This has been brought to you by the NBC and its associated stations from coast to coast. We'll be back on the air tomorrow, of course, with the second game from the same position at Yankee Stadium. As you know, the first two games are played at the stadium, and then the third, fourth, and if there is a fifth, at Polo Grounds, and the sixth and seventh at the Yankee Stadium if necessary. We'll be back on the air tomorrow at our regular time, 1:15 Eastern Standard Time. That's 12:15 Central, 11:15 Mountain, 10:15 Pacific Standard Time. Your announcers will be Tom Manning of Cleveland, Red Barber of Cincinnati, and Warren Brown, sports editor of the Chicago Herald Examiner. And so, well, that's all. Till tomorrow, George Hicks announcing. This program is brought to you through the National Broadcasting Company.
We wish to thank the American Home Products Corporation, makers of Old English Wax, Louis Philippe Lipstick, and Colonos Toothpaste, Sterling Products Incorporated, makers of Philips Facial Cream, McKesson and Rodman's, makers of Kalox Tooth Powder, and the Procter & Gamble Company, makers of Camay, Oxidol, Crisco, and Ivory Soap, for their courtesy in relinquishing the time for their programs usually heard over some of these stations in order that the National Broadcasting Company might bring you a description of the World Series baseball games.